Blog Talk Radio.
Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link Talk Radio. Here on Block Talk Radio. Welcome to the show and how are you doing? Hope you all doing good out there because it's one of those things that if you're doing good, it makes it a whole lot easier for the process and that we're all manifesting every day. So therefore, to be more productive, smile. And if you want to give a call and get a reading, answer a couple questions, or get a couple questions answered, I should say, give us a call at 646-721-9031. Also, if you want to call and get a private reading, we're having some specials right now, where it's 75 minutes for $75. It's $1 a minute. Try to get that on a psychic line out here anymore, so therefore, try it out. Give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835, or give me a buzz on Skype at the name donald.reed8, all small letters, or go to my website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Again, we're having an April special at 75 minutes for $75. Take advantage of that, and if you do, just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or 740-601-9835, or go to Skype and contact me at donald.reed8, all small letters, or go to website www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Alrighty, guys. And also, we also have a sponsor, Richard Palenga, who sponsored the show. If you want to be a sponsor, all you have to do is pay a simple $40 a month fee, and you can get your product, your service, and you promoted and sponsor the show at the same time of a spiritual impact, and help us keep the message going and be a part of that. Richard has a website out there called DivineBodyWash.com. His products are spiritual. They're natural. They just enhance the experience and the journey you've chosen. So go check them out at DivineBodyWash.com. And he's saying for everybody who donates $25, all of our listeners who donate $25, he'll give you a bottle of body mist. And if you donate $35 or more, he will also go in a bottle of body mist. Also, guys, another one we got here is if you want to cut your phone bill in half, well, not even half, almost like 75%, check out Straight Talk. It's a good service, and I kind of said I got it myself. I actually cut my bill from $200 a month down to $45 a month for unlimited everything. No restrictions, no hidden agenda, no hidden anything. So give it a shot. Check it out on the web at www.straighttalk.com or go to your local Walmart store in electronics. All right? If you're ever in the Raleigh area, too, and you want a nice place where you can get a nice smoothie but don't want to sit there and add inches to your waist and be healthy, go to Smoothie King. It's a great place. So if you're down there, just check it out and check it out. They're all great places. The ideal is almost like a GNC with a nice little count, you know? So check it out. Let's see. Let's go. Also, if you want to enhance your spiritual quest as well, try out HemiSync CDs. That's www.hemi-sync.com. Because they're not subliminal CDs. It's a technology that actually enhances the brain by helping both hemispheres work together, which gives you intense focus and concentration. And if you are into subliminal CDs and you want to sit there and have something where it's constantly reinforcing your subconscious mind with positive affirmations, give us a shot here at go to www.brainsync.com and check out these companies. And both companies have CDs for about anything, any kind of ailment. It's kind of impressive. So just go to the website and check them out. I'm pretty sure you'll find a CD in there that matches your lifestyle and something you've been trying to accomplish, even if it's just meditation or letting go or stop smoking or anything on this line. So go check them out. They also have MP3 downloads, so you can make it easier and actually download the system, or instead of waiting for the CD to come in the mail, you can actually download it and use it right now. So let's go to we also have our co-host with us today, if I can get this thing to work. Okay, Dee, are you there?
Okay, sorry about that. I thought I'd clicked off. Anyway, here I am.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I thought I had the mute off. Well, anyway. Yes, if you'd like to contact me, call me at 207-374-5072 or email me at spiritwindthemessenger@hotmail.com. I take PayPal, and I suggest for an hour's worth of phone time, a donation of $60. If you'd like a longer session or something shorter, we can work that out too. And for email reading, I suggest $20, but contact me and I'll work with your budget, try to get back to you within 24 to 48 hours. And if you're interested in jewelry, please email me for now, and I will can send you some pictures of what I do. I work with stone beads, like as I said before, moss agate, amethyst, freshwater pearls, Picasso jasper, turquoise, you name it. Stone pendants, and I use sterling silver pendants. I use good Hill Tribe silver, handmade in Thailand by the Hill Tribe's people. I'm going to be working on some chakra jewelry in the near future, so contact me. We'll work out prices and see what you're into and what you're interested in, and we'll take it from there. I'm also going to be starting up my own blog talk radio show in the very near future, and I'll have details on that as soon as I know. And as I've said before, Donnie and April and any other good psychic out there who wants to join me, please do. It'll be a half an hour for now until I can work out the sponsors and make it longer. And I will be putting out information on my Facebook page, so you can look for that coming soon.
That sounds good. So keep us informed of the whole thing, and
we'll
definitely be there. So we got some. So like I said before, guys, we're doing readings tonight. But also, if you have anything you want to talk about too, and ask us some questions about anything we do or don't do, or how we do, be glad to answer those questions too. Just by giving us a call at 646-721-9031. That number again is 646-721-9031. Just take a look in the chat room real quick. It's like I'm walking across the whole thing, and we got Phoenix Lighthouse. It's Richard's in there, and we also have some guests with us too as well. So if anybody has any questions in the chat room, we'll be checking with the chat room periodically. So if you have some questions that you'd like to have answered, just let us know. We also have a caller in the queue, so let's go to them and see what's up. Hello, how are you?
Hello.
Welcome to the queue. Hey.
Hey, yeah, I'm calling, and I saw your show, and I don't know how you all do readings. I'm looking for a angel reading, and
okay.
I do have a question. I've been working with this company, and I just want to know if this company tomorrow, actually Tuesday, they're saying that they're going to do a settlement with me. And I don't know if the settlement is going to go through or not. And I just want to know if they're going to agree with our negotiations.
Okay. No problem. And what's your first name?
My first name's Jermaine.
And Jermaine, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh. I used to live in Ohio. I ran away. I used to live around the Columbus area, actually a place called Circleville.
Okay. Yes, two hours from me, yes.
Yes. Yes, Shawnee country. And also, someone said today, I was in there talking to him, they said that I put it in the Hoosier. And the first thing I thought about was Ohio State. And rivalries with Michigan and all that craziness.
Oh, yes. Always rivalries.
Have you ever seen a state so caught up in Ohio State and their football game, their football programs? Because I was there. I've never seen so much stuff. The Buckeyes, and I mean, just everything is just intense, I'm telling you.
Here's the thing. We always get great players for college, basketball, football, whatever. But I wish those players would transfer to Cincinnati or the Browns or the Cavaliers.
Right.
And we just don't get the best of, NBA and NFL or even Major League Baseball players, but we always could get good, great college players. So Mm-hmm. You know, it's
still
got
the Browns.
Yeah, the Browns.
And so, I'm just saying, sometimes it's kind of funny that I think I've ever seen a football team actually lose their town, but
yeah,
to go back around again and do it again. So, you know, it's kind of interesting. Only in Ohio, right? But
yes, oh, we go through the roller coasters all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's kind of crazy. I don't know. I'm just saying, I've been to other states, and I understand people have all that stuff out there, the flags and everything else. But just Ohio, especially around Columbus. I mean, if you say something wrong about the Buckeyes, I mean, you're going to have somebody lynch you. And I think it's a little too extreme.
It is.
So the last time Ohio State actually won, the people who actually lived there actually destroyed the football freaking field. Took about $100,000 to get it back up to par again. I'm like, these are your own people. So it wasn't a rivalry or anything. I was like, oh, that's interesting.
all this just for a win, you know.
It is kind of crazy. Anyway, let's get back to your subject. And the one thing I get the idea was is the idea that this settlement and that kind of stuff, I get the impression it's going to go through.
You get the impression it's going to go through?
Yeah. I feel like there's some things on the surface that kind of make you think it might not. But it's almost like you get the impression of looking past all that stuff. Focus on exactly what you want, because I think there's some blockages here that might throw people off of thinking it might not.
Well, here's the thing. Again, I'm working. My boss, he's the owner of the company, and we did a conference call, and the company put in a clause that, you know, something we didn't even know what it was. And, you know, my boss, he got upset. He ended up being disappointed, and he said he doesn't have no faith in that company. So he hung up on that conference call, and he just believes that the company is not going to come through. However, I'm thinking, you know, optimistic and hoping that that company will get on board with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just a matter of time. I think that's probably why I have those blockages based on my, you know, partner, the owner of the company, the way he's talking. And he told me, try to fix it if you can. But he's just really kind of negative right now, saying that he don't feel like it's going to work out.
Mm. But he also seems like a person who has a tendency to have that kind of doubtful kind of thing about it too. It's kind of amazing when you look at people who have accomplished success and listening to how they talk instead of wondering how they got there. That's what I get with him. But yeah,
yes.
One thing that came to me was the idea of focusing on the situation and seeing the outcome the way you want it.
Yes, and I'm hoping I can prove him wrong.
Oh, you will.
They're saying Tuesday they would call me back Tuesday and we'll discuss this. And I'm just hoping that, you know, that they,
mm-hmm,
the company is legit and I can work with them and the settlement will go through.
Right. Well, it comes across to me as the idea of not really worrying about the company legitimately or anything like that. It's the idea of working together and just a very positive feeling it's going to happen just like that.
Yes.
I also see a focus on children.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yes, I am. And what do you see about that?
Okay. Give me a little more details of the children themselves. Something to focus more on.
Okay.
Oh. Let's see. Names and birthdays would be great.
Okay, you need a birth date?
Yeah. And
okay,
you can give me the first name. You don't have to give me the whole name. Just a...
Okay, my first name is Jermaine.
Mm-hmm.
my last. You need last name too?
No, you don't need a last name. I don't think, because I've already pretty much picked up on you, so I don't need that. Just give me your birthday real quick.
Okay, birth date is 9/26, and you need the year too.
Not really. I'm just curious.
Okay.
I'm just saying that everybody I know of that when you give them the dates, as in the year, they just don't seem to resonate with that year. Not because they don't. I'm just saying it's kind of trying to prove to everybody out there the ideal relationships, interactions, and that kind of stuff. Because it's amazing like this. Okay, two people get together in a relationship, and maybe one guy's 25 years old, and the woman. Everybody freaks out now. But if they're friends, it's okay. Even though they still, even though the grievances that they came up with the idea of not being in a relationship, I guess they don't realize the word relationship applies to friendship too as well. So therefore, it's a contradiction. And it was kind of funny how when you sit there and work with people and talk to them and all the stuff that's been going on, how people gravitate to the situation just like that. Because I feel like, if you have a situation in a relationship and the only grievance that you have or the only problem that you have is a person's age, then you're looking for excuses.
Exactly.
I think you deserve what you get.
you do.
I had a situation where I was, when I first started in Colorado, we were at this, I guess it was like a community place up here, and it was wintertime, so they had these indoor pools. Really nice place too, because it's also got this thing that looks like a raindrop, but it's actually a little canal for the water, and it's got a really strong current where you can swim with it or swim against it. It's a really good workout. So I was sitting there, and they had lifeguards, and this one I struck up a conversation with lifeguards, and she was like, I think she was, what to say for this conversation? She was 19 years old, and I was a little bit older than she was. It was like 5 or 6. It was like, actually, about 6 years ago. Well, the guy looked at me and said, "What are you doing date? Well, what would you sit up and talk to her, or even flirt with her, because you know she's old enough to be your daughter?" And I said, "Yeah, but the point is, she's not. She's just a girl who has a tendency to have certain things that we have in common. So we're having this nice little conversation, right? And I really didn't have any intentions of going out with her." But it was just kind of funny how people's attitudes, when they look at those things, of calling people sick. Oh, you're dating a girl who's like 19 years old and you're like in your 40s? What's wrong with you? I said, I didn't think there's anything wrong with me. Attraction is attraction. Let's go back and look at the other. Let's go look at this one thing. I actually had some shocking things with people, because I was sitting looking at this thing going, I said, it's kind of crazy where you guys are all kind of jumping all this kind of stuff, and we're all looking for the right one. And maybe the right one might will not fall in the parameter that you have chosen, which is also based on worldly opinions. So therefore, maybe the reason you're having a tough time finding a soulmate or a relationship is because you're doing it because what the world determines you should do. So you're working against yourself because your wants and needs and desires may be different. But some people, it doesn't take that, because they're like, okay, what will people think? Who cares what people think? I mean, and that also the situation is, I think it's so disrespectful, is because in our society, which is a contradiction, a person, male or female, when they turn 18, they're classified as an adult. So therefore, they have the right to make their decisions and do what they want to do. And I think when people start walking in there and start telling that person, you don't know what you want, and you don't know what you're thinking, I guarantee you, if you go deeper in that person who just said that, they're describing themselves.
Exactly. And a woman's, the way I look at it too, the maturity level of a woman is much greater than a man's will ever be anyway. And really, women mature quicker than men. That's what I'm saying. And of course, at 18, you know, they're thinking like maybe 23, 24, and men still 18. They're like in our teens almost, you know, because we're not thinking straight ahead.
That's true. They always say if a guy's 20, he's actually really 16 mentally. We also consider one thing too. We consider and go by statistics too. But I mean, we've actually met people who don't fit those things at those ages. I mean, like I was talking to a friend of mine, I was like, you know, first thing came across was, you know, do a reading for me, you know, and then certain people and that kind of stuff. And it was came up that the first thing came out of her mouth was the idea of finding somebody more mature and that kind of thing. Always off the cut. Well, that was weird. Anyway, just going that whole thing, it was kind of weird in the situation itself of how things fall into place and how things are, like, put in parameters and stuff like that where people can't really grow. But it's also amazing how some people have a tendency to voice their opinions based on what they were doing at that age. And that's what I'm saying. Individuality is very important because, you know, one person said, when I was 25, I didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know what, you know, at that time I had to determine what kind of things. Kind of like, whoop. And I was like, wow, that's kind of crazy because when I was 25, I was married and I had my first daughter and I had three jobs. So, you know, different people, different parameters. That's what I always say. Let's see here. So, Dee, you still there?
I am.
So would you date a guy who's 25 years younger than you are?
It would depend on his maturity, for one thing.
Mhm.
Because right now, I mean, I'm what? I'm 64. The guy I'm interested in is going to be 56. So there's a bit of an age difference, but not that big an age difference. I don't want to date somebody that's young enough to be my son or my grandson, because that would feel kind of weird.
And why would you?
It would be weird to me because I don't want to be with somebody that I feel like I'm mothering them or something. I like to be with somebody that I can feel like we're equals, even if there is a bit of an age difference.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just like men that, I like somebody that's mature, and I tried telling somebody once that, actually I told this particular person more than once, that the kind of person I like is an alpha male, but somebody that knows what he wants, but he also knows how to treat a woman. He's got confidence. He's not wishy-washy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, somebody that's wishy-washy and doesn't have a clue, doesn't work. But I would definitely date a younger man. Most of them, I've always seemed to pretty much be with men that are younger than I am.
Right.
This seems to work that way. That I don't know what it is. I just, even my ex was only, well, it was only 1 year, but still, you know. No, I think age is a number. And it does depend on the maturity. And if the person is looking, I mean, if I would certainly wouldn't want to be with somebody that thought, was looking for a mother figure. Because I don't want to be your mother. I want to be your lover, your best friend, and hopefully your wife someday. But I don't want to feel like, oh, you're looking for a mommy. Because you're old enough, you know, if you're an adult, be an adult.
So it's like the idea that there's a difference between a man dating a younger woman than a guy, or a woman. I should say woman and man, because it's like the idea of maturity and how they like the last guy said, which was kind of fun. We lost him, but the situation.
Oh, we lost him.
Yeah, because I was actually wanting to talk to him more about the children. Thinking that the very first card I pulled up was children. And that's why I was hoping he would call back in so we could actually sit and go over that whole thing and see what was up. What's up? You know, and then I was sitting there going over the thing. There was some things that came up about the whole thing about age and that kind of stuff, and I started looking at things and looking at everything else across the board, and everything else was just, like, falling into place, and everything seems to be, like, in the other relationship with compatibility and the ideal, everything working out very fine, except there was just certain things in different in the people's ages. And actually, we had a... I was on a random working, which me and April actually work on a random.com, so check us out on a random. She's April Love, spelled with one L. And they call me Psychic X Journey. That's because a man wouldn't fit. So, go check
it
out.
It implies it was an X journey, like the journey's over. It was your former journey.
Yeah. And I was, so we sit here talking one night in a chat room. And this one lady came in and said she was 28 and she was dating a guy who was, I think it was 47, maybe, it might have been 47 or maybe 57, I'm not sure. Anyway, I'm sure it was like 47. And people in the room were just like, when he's 70 years old, you know how old you're going to be? And she goes, yeah, a little bit older. And she said, that's not my question. My question is with the idea, you know, what kind of future do we have together? which a lot of us would say she should know that too, but it was like putting it out there, and it was amazing how people wasn't paying attention to the to her question. All they could sit there and was detail the ideal, the age. There was never any questions even asked about the age part, but they sure wanted to voice their opinions and tell everybody, hey, we think you're sick, or that guy's sick, or he's doing this and that kind of stuff like that. And we're talking about two adults, both of age, and I don't understand where the sickness comes in. Except for the mental sickness that people have a tendency to have when they jump on the bandwagon and not realizing that they're attacking people and judging them because of a number. Because the reason I think it's so appalling these days is because nobody fits that parameter anymore. And plus, when we look at history, back in the Roman days, you're lucky to live past 40. So therefore, certain things happen quicker. Marriage, you know, children, relationships, everything about it always seemed to happen quicker and sooner. And people were like, you know, 18, 19 years old, wrestling tigers, you know, lions and all that. So when you sort of look at those things, I mean, even caveman times and those kind of things, people were just doing different things. And even back in the Midwest in the 1800s, a lot of couples were between 14 and 16 years old who were actually building, you know, these great lives as couples and individuals on their own. I mean, Billy the Kid was like 16 years old and he shot his first man, you know, and started off on this being one of the most ruthless, in some sense of the words, outlaw, which started when he was 16 years old. So, you know, it's amazing in this day and age that everybody's kind of like was sitting there talking about it. It's appalling, isn't it? The kids really don't have a long childhood. I was like, where'd you at? Obviously, you're not here. I think kids actually have a longer childhood. And you see some of the guys I've been doing readings for, that kind of roots into like 20 and 30 years old.
Hello?
Hey, hello.
How you doing? You back?
Yes, I'm back.
Well, hello.
I had a bad connection.
Yep, and then there was no connection, so that was a bad connection. But we were sitting there talking about the whole thing and how, I was working on this company, and we had this conversation in the chat room about age, and some lady came in, and she was like, on a random, it's a psychic line where you can actually go on and see the person that you're getting a reading from, and we have these free chat rooms where it's, most of the people don't understand what a free chat room means is you can freely chat with each other, get to know the psychic before you actually push a button and do a private reading with them. And they don't understand the reason it's called free chat is because, like on Keen, which is another company on the internet, they have chat, but it's like calling a phone line that you get paid by, you get charged per minute. So we're sitting talking in the chat room, people freely chat about things, and this lady came in, and people were trying, and we started talking about respect of people walking in these rooms and saying, there's nothing on this site that says free except for free chat, which means we freely chat with each other to get to know each other, so you can ask me any question you want about myself. But they do come in the room, and they try to ask questions all the time. And, you know, I have a tendency to answer one question for everybody. So this lady came in, and she said, I'm 28 years old. I'm dating a guy who's 47. All of a sudden, these people start giving these opinions, and that wasn't her question. Her question was, what kind of future do you see us having? And everybody started coming in and started saying, well, you know, he's sick for, you know, and the idea of dating you and that kind of stuff. I mean, this is a girl who's 28, not 18. So,
okay.
I mean, so we're sort of looking at the situation going, okay. People
she's
are
a grown woman.
and even at 18, she's still a grown woman. If you look at the situation, our society has babyfied our children to the point where we're wondering how come we're having relationships. Me personally, when I start work, I do relationship counseling, and I'm working with couples, and women call me up and saying, this guy cannot express himself. He says he loves me, but he runs away all the time. I said, well, maybe the reason is because he's been babyfied, which means everybody keeps treating him like a child. And it's kind of funny that they'll treat him like a child, but they want to look at her and say, well, you should be making decisions on your own and doing what you got to do. But then when she gets into a relationship and she's dating a guy who's 47, all of a sudden she's not supposed to do that. Let me make a decision for you because you don't know what you're doing. So I was like, all these double standards are trying to make, you know, they're making people confused. Okay, what should I do? Should I wait 2 days before I call someone when someone gives me a phone number? There's just no, just like go to a dating service or do this or go to, you know, counseling. But no one's actually giving any kind of instructions on what they should do, as in realistic, as in human beings interact with human beings. I think we're still living by almost television standards, where you see the people talking about when you get a phone number, you should never call them back for 3 days. You know, when I gave that phone number to that freaking person, there was no restrictions when I gave it to her and said, hey, call me. I guess in the tone of my voice somewhere, it said, 3 days, 3 days. And I'm sitting there going, I'm sitting there waiting for someone to call, and I'm like, okay, what's up? And then what's going on is she's on the other side waiting for 3 days, you know, and because somebody told her. I think a person who's really qualified doesn't have to be in a great relationship to be qualified to give advice, but I think their life should reflect it in some sense of the word, on some kind of level.
Exactly.
But the one thing, that's one reason I wanted you to call back, was because I was sitting here reading your cards, and the first card I picked up was children. You know, I picked up on two children, and I was wondering about the situation, because when I looked at it, and there was the third card was harmony. And it says, you are safe. But there was a children. Okay, the children card came up. And then Archangel Michael for protection. And then there was harmony. And then the next one was focus. And then the other one was passion. Now, passion is a card about that actually talks about trusting and following your renewed passion in your love life and your career, even in yourself. And then we have focus, which is we have a lot of focus here that there's a lot of things that you have been focusing on, but they seem to feel like, in some sense of the word, you're not focusing on yourself enough, which I always tell people, if you're not listening to yourself and you're getting yourself in trouble, that's the one that could indicate that you're not focusing enough on yourself, so you'll stop making those mistakes and beating up on yourself at the same time. So I was curious about the very first two card came out was children. So we're having insights on the situation.
Well, and here's the thing. I have two children.
Okay.
And I've been, you know, staying home for about 2 years. So it's going on 3 years now, almost three. And I've been pretty much a stay-home dad and you know, it's just, and I'm just kind of worried. I'm able to stay home, but, you know, my spouse, she is the breadwinner, of course. And, you know, I'm just getting worried about work and everything. And I'm just trying to figure out, will work ever come again? So I'm also trying to think outside of the box as far as, you know, doing projects here and there and trying to help businesses and do settlements and things of that nature until I can find what I went to school for, which is teaching.
But you should try some things at home too, you know. You should try some things at home. There's a couple of companies out there you can actually do conference calls. It's not really conference calling, but you can still do teaching on 15 or 16 people levels, or whatever you want to do. It's up to you. And it's some of them are actually give you a chance to check them out for free. It's just, yeah, I do all the audio and that kind of stuff, but you work them together and get that kind of going. Because there's this one called WizIQ where you can actually do classes and stuff and work with people. And the one thing you do find, it's amazing how people come on and say, why don't you make it free? Why don't you sit there and look at the situation and ask yourself one question. How much investment do you put in yourself? Because obviously you don't do none because you want everything for free. And it's the idea of realizing that when a service is offered for free, it's not getting free, because that person's going to put energy, time, and structure in the way it's going to teach you in the process. And you should have respect for that and say, okay, this person should be compensated. Even the ideal situations of anything you think of is you're still investing money in yourself. I was on a rant, I'm doing the same thing, and people say, well, you're $3.99 a minute. Yes, I am, but aren't you worth that kind of money? And they're like, oh, you're just trying to sell me on the service. I said, yeah, but think about it. When you get a reading and you get the answers and you get your questions and it resonates with you, and not just the idea, I don't call them readings really, in the sense of what we do, because they're like, almost like actually sessions, because we give you answers, we give you directions, we give you guidance, we give you all the information you ever need. So when you start to look at the situation, I'm going to benefit from it financially and maybe even find some answers about my own life. But I guarantee what comes out of that reading will resonate with you the whole time, throughout your whole life, because of the changes you're going to make. So the idea of looking at the fee is the idea of saying, okay, $3.99 a minute. Focus.
And it's a service.
That's true, too. And I tell people all the time, I said, look at that. Oh, that's $150. Whoa, I don't think I can do that. Maybe you can, and maybe what you're seeing is trying to instill in you self-worth so you can actually be in a position that whenever you desire something, you can get it when you desire it. So here you are making excuses. So you should be we were sitting one night with the show, and people were in the show or in the chat room were complaining because they said, what is this, psychology, or is this a free psychic reading thing? I said, actually, it's a spiritual show. It's neither one. There's just certain services that we offer on the show as in giving people free readings, and I like doing free readings. For one reason is there's no pressure because some of the companies I work for, I do like to get a lot of information quickly and very accurately because some people just don't have the money to, at that moment, we get a complete reading, so we get cut off. I'm sitting there going, oh, I don't like that. So here I am. I can sit and talk as long as I want. Well, we have people complaining about that. We have people complaining about that, too. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but you guys don't make the decisions that makes up the ideal of this show. Mm-hmm. What happens to it, the money, where things go, and that kind of stuff. But here you are complaining. And I said, it's pretty sad, too, because in the process of complaining, you're probably missing the message or even the answers to your questions before you even get on the show.
Exactly.
And I know that for a fact because we've actually had people wait in the queue to get on just to tell me that. Okay? So I'm sitting here telling people, everybody, nothing because it's not the idea of bragging and say, oh, there's these people out there saying I'm fantastic and great. No, it's just the idea of helping them understand. Those people are very appreciative because of what they learned just by listening. And if we all did that, throughout our whole lives, no matter where we was and whoever crossed our paths, it's just amazing how much we would actually learn about ourselves.
You can learn a lot and I tell my children, and even in the classroom when I was teaching, you learn a lot just by listening to each other, and it's like I get tired of speaking all the time, so I have to have the students, speak and entertain me sometimes. Because life is a lesson you learn from others. And that's the way I look at it. And, if I feel that I'm talking all the time, I know my students will probably say I'm boring. And, I tell them, I say I like to hear from you all, and you all give me some feedback, and I like to put them in groups and tell me how things worked out, and what I haven't been doing is getting community involved, and this is something I wanted to do as far as getting people from other fields to come in that classroom and speak as well, where they're not bored all the time for me. And that's what it is. It's all about listening and having an ear for learning.
Yeah, it's always about learning. Because that's what I tell a friend of mine. It's like the idea of doing readings is saving me up probably thousands of dollars in therapy just by listening. Because of people going through stuff, and I had to turn it down a couple of times while I was in my shop because I would be doing a reading for somebody. I'm going, wow. I didn't realize that. And they go, what, what's wrong? I was like, oh, that's something. I'm sorry, I just was what we just talked about just kind of resonated with real quickly where I think I've solved my issues too. And she was, oh, okay. And so I realized I needed to things to myself until the session was over and then do the celebration dance, But things happen very quickly. And I told a friend of mine because she's like, you're really happy what you do, don't you? I was like, well, every day it seems like there's always something's going to happen or a crazy question or something that you never expected, but it's the unexpected that makes life interesting, And we have some questions and that kind of stuff. It's like trying to inform people and say, okay, you think that our job is like glamorous and it's great and fantastic, and I'm not saying it's not, but it's like anything else. It's like driving a bus. drive the city bus. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure it's got its moments, and you're all having fun and that kind of stuff. And then somebody stands up in the back of the bus and with a gun and says, you want something? That was a challenging day in itself. But it's only one moment. It's only one moment,
exactly.
You know? But, I mean, same thing with your job with teaching and stuff. I mean, if you sit there and you start thinking about the possibilities of those things happening, you're going to drive yourself nuts. But if you sit there and go into it, like you said before, you love teaching, and realistically what we do here, you could ask Dee. I think it's more of a teaching situation when we work with people, too. Wouldn't you agree, Dee?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Because you're learning about your past, present, and future. That, you know, some things that are not revealed that you don't know about your inner self.
Exactly. And when you meet somebody and you see that, it's like a realization that you attracted that person into your life. Something about you attracted that person, so therefore, when you look at that person, because we were talking about this before, too, particular one that I've been working with where they're sitting there going, this guy's not loving me enough. And I said, no, that's not what the problem is. The problem is you haven't loved yourself enough today, so therefore you're expecting someone to make up the difference. So it's an insecurity that you need to confront, to take a look at it and go, okay, but here this person is reflecting that back to you. So you can actually take a nice little look at it. So you have a nice mirror. And everybody reflects to you everything. And it was the one thing we wanted to stress, too, is the idea of not all reflections are bad, and they could also reflect back to you that you're a great person, because we were talking about relationships, and the woman was asking, how come the guy's acting like he is, and where he's distant, doesn't want to express himself, and that kind of stuff, too. I said, well, was it reflect back about you? So she was like, mm-hmm. Am I like that? Not always like that, okay? Like attracts like, because what the person can do within himself, he is capable of loving and expressing and doing those things if you just get the courage to do so. But when we sit there and sit about reflections, you're reflecting that back to him. So that's a good reflection telling you that you're the opposite of what he is in some sense of the word, but he has the potential, so that's what attracts. So she was like, so it's like looking at people go, because the first thing I hear from people when relationships don't work out or they're not getting what they want, the first thing they want to do is blame themselves. And so, okay, what's wrong with me? I said, maybe the problem is your perception that you think something, there's always something wrong because I did it, when it could be just reflecting back to you the great person you are, that the person that you're with has not seen that because he hasn't found himself.
Exactly.
But he's seeing it, yeah, so the reason he distances himself from it is because he's like, ooh, I got to change. People look at you. I think the thing came to me one time.
And I think it's only right that you be yourself anyway. Why should you change for somebody else anyway? You know, that means that you're not attracted to that person.
Well, that's what I was telling the lady. I said, think about this. You're not seeing it. And she goes, what's that? I said, you're looking at the person and you're blaming this person for not giving you what you want, when all you're really seeing is a person and who they really are. Which, in the process
exactly.
of realizing that, and this is not the person for you, I guess, because he doesn't follow those parameters. But here you are trying to pound a round peg into a square hole, and getting mad because it won't work, and then getting in, taking the board and throwing it at everybody else. You know, going, I'm not mad. But I said, when I turned it around and said, okay, let's look at it this way. The reason he's having a problem with himself and he's distanced himself from you and that kind of stuff is because he sees the greatness, which is you. They like that part.
Yes.
But it's a point of looking at her and saying, yes, you are that intelligent. If you would just stop letting love dictate your life and take back your power to realize it, when you make a decision, you know, you make a decision. You can do what you want. I've heard this other one too, where it was soulmate. Well, this person is my soulmate, so I have to stay with him. No matter how many times he shoots me, no matter how many times he punches me, shoves me down the stairs, he's my soulmate. So, you know, that's a person is not really, I wouldn't say they're crazy, but some of the information that's coming out there, people think these things that they should do. Of course, I guess it's one of those things we talked about before, everybody needs to really start listening to themselves, but also take those lists out and look at them and go, okay, was there a thing in there that says I want a distant man who can't express himself? I hope not. So if you get that on your list, get a pencil out, start erasing that little sucker off, okay? But, I mean, it's like looking at the thing going, okay, I hear you. And we look at the list and it says, oh, here it is. You said you wanted to find someone who wants you as much as you want them. Now, when you look at this person, is he doing that? Because it can say that he does have issues and he hasn't found himself and he can't read from the reflection he sees. He's not at a level that he can do that. So he is actually who he is at that moment. If it doesn't fit your parameters in your list, then he's not the one. And it's amazing how people are looking for signs but miss them all the time.
Exactly.
That was like almost we should hang a couple explosives to that one and go, boom, did you get it? You know. Mm-hmm. But with your situation, it talks about the idea of focusing on, because actually someone in the chat room was actually saying that you should think about doing tutoring and working with kids and that kind of stuff on a one-on-one basis with certain things that you're going on. Yeah, and then also, like I said before, you know, you're also very talented and that kind of stuff, and I understand what you're talking about, but I just think if you did it on a one-on-one, there's a lot of enjoyment with that one, too, because you actually take your energy and focus on just one child and go from that point on to you. But I would definitely try the internet stuff, too, because the one I saw was, like, the ideal potential of webcam and the whole thing with that, too. What I'm doing right now is we do this thing where I'm trying to develop things with Skype where you can actually contact me no matter where you are in the world or the country. We can actually do a reading on Skype face-to-face. We're trying to do parties where we can just set up a laptop where you're at.
And that's what I'm on now. And that's what I'm on now, Skype. And that's...
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yes.
And I was sitting there looking at the situation, too, that on Skype they have this thing now with conference calls where you can actually develop the whole thing where it's like sitting there teaching and you can like have a group call where you get like 5 or 6 or 10 people and you're all sitting there. You could teach them. You could all see each other and that kind of stuff. There's a lot of parameters that keeps you at home where you can still do that role as in that person who's taking care of the kids and that kind of stuff, but still be very productive and that kind of stuff like that. So you said that Your partner was the main breadwinner. Yeah, I can't say it. Breadwinner.
Yes.
And
she's actually breadwinner right now, and I'm staying home with the children, and they're not in preschool now. Mm-hmm. They were in preschool, but they were going for half time. But now it's like, you know, because I'm not working and everything. You know, the funds were kind of getting to us, and so we decided it was best to just pull them out and not just, you know, teach them from home. So I've been kind of focusing on them more than actually, you know, I'm still working, but, you know, it's not like a paid work service. So it's, you know, because it is my kids, so I'm just trying to maintain until something, you know, comes up. And I was just hoping. That Tuesday, that you know, when this company makes a decision, if they make a decision Tuesday, things will work out because that will be some type of, you know, settlement or money coming through if it goes through. So I've just been trying to think out of the box.
No, I hear you.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. That's funny. I was saying too about when we came up with the thing too. I was like, oh, you know, if someone had a laptop on their side or a desktop computer or whatever, we could still use the thing on Skype. And I was like, interesting. And just there's so many options for so many things anymore. That the idea, I think that's just one thing that makes me when you get kind of appalled by people, is to see people who say they can't do nothing, and then you see all these opportunities that they would just sit there. And even I had a client who was in a wheelchair probably her whole life.
And she
was working as doing word processing for, I think it was a company, to short for this one guy, where she was actually taking like bills from Sprint and stuff like that. And she was the one that was actually downloading them into the computer, the bills and that kind of stuff. And when you start seeing people like that who actually are making money and doing this kind of stuff, to hear somebody else who says they're not, it just makes you wonder what's the situation of why they would have that, where they don't think they can do anything. And a lot of times what I find out, it's like with the idea with age and, and people, it's usually people surrounding you and their opinions and kind of stuff that have a tendency to make people feel a certain way, but they don't want to sit there and step outside the box, and they have a tendency to just stay there, thinking that's all they're good for.
Exactly.
Because what you're saying, I was sitting there looking at, it says gifts from God. You know, it says we angels are bringing you gifts from the Creator. So there's things coming to you. And then the next card was Archangel Sandalphon. And what's so funny about these two cards is they're both Archangel Sandalphon. And one talks about gifts of God. The other one says your prayers have been heard and answered. It's just the idea of having faith allow these things all to fall into place because, you know, it's the idea of open your mind up and say, okay, the things that you got going on. You said you had two children, right?
Yes.
And what's the sex of those children?
Girls. Two girls.
I was picking up on girls. Because I was sitting there looking at the two children. Interesting. So I saw the two girls. I was sort of in the situation and go, okay. It kind of reminds me of some things I was going through with my daughters and what you got to do and what you can't, you know, what you don't think you can do. But then all of a sudden things start changing. And next thing I know, you know, I like that one term where people go, go play the lottery. Next thing you know, and Jed's a millionaire. You know, so you never know. And that's all it takes is the idea of making the right decision at the right time to make a life change. Could that take a minute? So I think that when they say divine timing, I mean divine timing is within yourself because we all have these resistance or way we've been raised or certain limitations. And once we let those limitations go, it's amazing how things pick up very quickly. Because I was telling a friend of mine about certain things that happened with me too, where I'm like right there on the D-Day, you know. That day was the day that bills came due and needed the money for them. And in the morning, it still looked like, oh, okay. I'm still trying to keep my mind clear, focused, and that kind of stuff. But we had this realization that a lot of people don't get things because what they're really focusing on, they don't realize is if you think there's something missing in your life, you're focusing on a space, okay? And what you think you're doing is trying to manifest the things you want to fill that space, not realizing that you're still focusing on the space. And at that time, the space is empty, and plus the space itself is an illusion. It doesn't exist. But here you are focusing on, I need to fill this space, not realize what you're doing is you're attracting what's in that space now. Nothing. So it's the idea of regrouping and looking at the situation, okay, what do you want, need, and desire? And when you start focusing, okay, there's a certain amount of money. I always say go above it. Like, do you need 100, you need 125? Keep your mind open. Because there was one thing in here I had in my journal and I found in a book, where it says you do your visualizations and stuff, your affirmations, and when you're done, say, either to yourself or out loud, to say, this or something better now manifests for me in totally satisfying and harmonious ways for the highest good of all concerned. That way you're opening all the doors and windows, whatever, so therefore you're not focusing on the lack of, you're focusing on everything you deserve.
Exactly. And that's what I've been doing, you know, like I said, if I don't, you know, land a job, and, you know, I do believe that I've been doing positive things. I haven't did anything negative. Mm-hmm. I've been staying home, you know, and, you know, I'm just keeping faith that something, you know, either I'll land a job or something greater is going to come for me. And, and that's what I'm trying to do, put in the work and try to do other things as well. And, you know, this is what I'm doing. I'm trying to work for other businesses and try to, you know, sell them and, you know, and do other things. And sometimes, you know, life has a way of taking you to other avenues that you didn't think that you were supposed to be doing. So, you know, I'm just waiting patiently for whatever is to come so I can be, you know, able to provide. And my main goal is just, you know, while I'm here in this realm, is just to make sure that my children are successful and everything while they're young now. So, and they'll have an understanding of what I'm doing, and it's for the greater cause or the greater good.
Mm-hmm. Now, the other two cards I had for you real quick was the idea of everything. divine order, which is by Archangel Riguel, which says everything is how it needs to be right now. Look past the illusion and see the underlying order. Everything's happening for a reason. And also the next one was Archangel Raphael, where it's the idea of focusing on your life as in healthy lifestyle, certain changes and that kind of stuff. And the idea with some of the choices have been made, that kind of thing, there's still some resentment in some sense of the word. That it, when I say resentment, it's like the idea, did I make the right choices? Did I do certain things? And it's the idea of looking at those things, even if you only said them for a minute or two, could actually have an effect on your life for a long period of time. And once you realize and let them go, that's the idea of healthy lifestyle. And it also, it's like looking sometimes with some of the decisions we make, we realize why we are so attracted to like sugars or certain things like that too, because we haven't faced certain issues within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they manifest in certain like eating disorders and that kind of stuff because what we don't see or what we do think we see. Well, it's just the idea of going within ourselves and going, I just need to let go of stuff and realize I don't need those things anymore. Or even the idea, because I did that when I was in a drowning accident, and I was like, it seemed like there's something still with that whole situation, even though I thought I dealt with it, there was still some things still coming to the forefront. I always kept them pulling me back to it, or somebody would mention it. So finally I stopped resisting it. Okay, somebody mentioned it again, so let's take a look at it. And I still found out that when I went back, and what I did was we did do past life regressions, but you can also do regressions in this life that you're in now to look at certain situations. And that's what we did, and we found out there was still some guilt within the drowning accident because my mom came in to save me, and she was 8 months pregnant at the time, and we almost lost her, my sister, and me. And so it was like all those came to the forefront. So I was thinking, I'm the oldest, and this my sister at the time hadn't been born yet, so the youngest, and then you can imagine at that time I wasn't getting a lot of attention. So there was some guilt with that because as I was in the process of drowning, I guess I was thinking I'm going to get some attention. And in the process of that thought of what happened afterwards, with the people we almost lost my mom. And we could sit there and go over the whole thing too, because at that time it was like the 70s, and people, to me personally, might be the idea why I have such a hard time with cops. But my mom and me had been pulled into a 12-foot undertow, and almost drowned. And then they brought us out. First of all, I was the one under the water the most. Never went to the hospital. And then my mom sit there on the shore while this sheriff just sit there and looked at her and said, well, she's dead. So we'll just wait, and we'll wait for the scuba divers to come in. And we're like, okay, but she's on the shore. So we sit there and went over the whole thing, right? And then he just sit there. Well, the guy who actually pulled her out, he came up there and said, I didn't save her for nothing. And he sat there and did some CPR on her for maybe 2 minutes and brought her back just that quick. So here we have some official dude who sits there who's supposed to be somewhere along the line of protecting society who didn't really give a hoot. So there was a lot of things that brought to the forefront. It was amazing how we have these certain things that we carry with us can actually be blocks for the prosperity that we want, or we have a tough time giving, or we have a tough time receiving, not realizing they're both equally important. And once we get that balance back, things kick in. And it was amazing, too. Once I said, ooh, I felt guilty, but here I was in my 40s looking at a 10-year-old kid who was feeling guilty, so it was easy to let go of the whole thing. And once I did, it was amazing how our business took off and my career. Wow. So there was definitely a connection there. So when it talks about healthy lifestyle, it's talking about a lot of things. It also says you need to exercise more.
Exactly. And that's something I need definitely to exercise physically.
Yeah.
You keep yourself, and it helps. It definitely helps keep yourself going, your mind and your body going when you can exercise.
Yeah, I always tell people it's like you get a reading, you see all these things pop up. Sit there and look at the situation of a solution, not if the person's right or wrong, but I think we're getting insights to things. So that's what a friend of mine was like, nope, that's wrong. I say, we're talking about the future. How do you know that? I mean, I know, but you're asking me a question about this, and this, and this, and all of a sudden you come back and go, nope. I said, no, that's not what it's all about. It's like you want to make these things, I think it's like motivation, you know? You're on the right track, my friend. So do what you got to do. And then the exercise could definitely just clear your mind. Because me personally, mm-hmm. I think when working, I don't know about some of you guys, but when you're working out, don't you think a lot?
Oh, yes. And it just, I mean, especially for stress, I think it's just taking a walk or even jogging or whatever you may do. It really clears the mind, and it's like when you come back to that, you know, just come back to that corner or wherever you're just sitting and thinking about things, you know, things just comes together so much faster. It's like, okay, well, I can do this. That's all I have to do. Oh, my goodness. And I was worried about that. That's how I think. And it's like, oh, my goodness. I had 5-6 different things I'm worrying about, and I end up doing it, you know, within a record time after I exercise. I'm like, okay, I'm finished. Mm-hmm. That's what I had to do.
Right, because I did the same thing. I sit there and went to work out. On that day, I was sitting there hoping things would change. What I did was I decided to say, okay, let's do it this way. Just don't feed into something because, you know, worry is not a natural part of our lives. It's not. It's something we've created, we think we have to do. But once you let that go, and then it seems like everything else seems to fall in place. And I was sitting there going, I was just going to go to the gym. So I get on the freaking bus to go to the gym. I'm heading to the gym. I get more than halfway there. And I got this prompting to call a friend of mine, see if he can help me out with the situation. Mm-hmm. And then I start falling into the little fear, what will he say? Maybe, you know, what's he going to say? I never really came up to the conclusion what he would say. I was just freaked out by what he might say. So I said, no, just clear mind. Just give him a call up and ask him. So I gave him a call, and he said, okay. I was like, okay, that was too easy. But it was one of those things. I had a prompting the day before to even do it. I didn't follow through. And then all of a sudden I understood why I should have done the day before. And then not just that happened. It was like and the idea of facing that fear took me into another threshold that for some reason opened the door for everything else. Then a person called me, got a reading, which I made about $80. And then another person, with certain things started opening up. And a day that I said I was sitting there freaking out in the mornings because I didn't have anything. Just the idea of the notion of focusing and I put everything out there, like, okay. I did everything I was supposed to do, almost to the point of throwing the books, you know, going, okay, I keep doing this, and this. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to do. I've done the meditations. I've prayed. I've talked to God and angels. I've talked, you know. And there was this one saint I was working with, a friend of mine brought to my attention, Exodite. And I was sitting there looking at that whole thing. I said, okay, I've done everything. And I got a little frustrated. And the next thing I know, just in the process of just letting go and confronting a fear, I made like $200-some in 2 hours. So the idea of people freaking out, don't you put those things up there about a week before they actually kick in? Not really. I've actually done this to myself where I sit down and manifested a ride home in 5 minutes. And I remember saying this, or I remember saying that too. I said, okay, God and angels, this might sound like I'm lazy, but I don't want to sit here and wait for the bus. Could you just have someone come by in 5 minutes? I don't care who it is, you know, new client, old client, friend, just somebody go home. Mm-hmm. Almost like the idea of being more productive. And I swear to you, 5 minutes later, some girl come by that I hadn't seen in about a month. Hey, what's up, man? You need to ride home? I'm like, wow, yes, I do. And, you know, and I get in the car, I'm sitting there going, it's crazy how that happens. And she goes, what's that? I said, it's a long story, you know, but... But it was kind of it's the idea of pointing out to people that when you let down the resistance, things can happen instantly. Exactly. If you want that to happen that way. So it's allowance.
Because God works in mysterious ways by sending, you know, his angels and, you know, and all you have to do is just ask and receive. You know, he's never backed out on his promises, so, you know.
Yeah, and the Bible doesn't say you can only ask for certain things. You know, all it says realistically in the situation, it says, you have not because you ask not, so therefore what you ask in prayer, mm-hmm. will be brought upon you by having faith in what you just said. Which is,
exactly.
if you think about what you're, when you know, in that sense, I was telling somebody, if you have faith in yourself,
mm-hmm.
and you love yourself unconditionally, aren't you also made in the image of God? So aren't you at that time also not loving yourself, but also loving the Creator who actually created you? Because it's appreciation.
Yes, you are. And that's, so that's a free. And God loves you for free.
That's exactly true. We have this one on here too. And Jermaine, we also had this one on the other day too. Realization for everybody. I said, do you realize one thing? We're the only mammals on the planet who actually pay to live here.
You're right. You're so right.
Yeah, I was like, I was looking back on the, back in history, and you see that there's a lot of societies, a lot of civilizations that never really paid to live anywhere. They were usually building these places, the temples and that kind of stuff. So,
you know, it's funny because, you know, we're the human beings that on this earth, we're supposed to have the brains and, you know, and everything else, and the high intellect. And, you know, I look at the animals on the earth, you know, they're,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I say to myself, I always have stated this, and when it comes to, you know, pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
and I look at animals, they're so much, when they have a baby, it's like, okay, you know, they're fine, you know, and, you
mm-hmm.
know, they don't go through the labor what a woman goes through, you know, human being, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always wanted to ask, you know, why is it that the woman has to go through so much pain and labor with having a baby versus animals? You know, here they have their baby and they're out flying, you know, they're doing
mm-hmm.
whatever as soon as they're born, you know. And, you know, it's just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, but you got to look at the situation too. This is the way it looks, okay? Think about this. If you trace it back to Adam and Eve, right? When Adam and Eve did what they did, they brought these things upon themselves because of, I think it's because they felt like, in some sense, where they're certainly they just did because of lack of faith in what God told them. So therefore, it reflects in their lives. So the reason the pain was brought upon her was because of the consequences of her actions. And if you know, as we go with the situation, the same thing with the man. And actually, I actually blame Adam. I guess I would actually, if you had one of the two to blame the more, I would blame Adam because Eve was told by Adam not to eat of the tree. But Adam
mm-hmm.
was told by God. So therefore, when Eve came to the tree, came from the tree and said, here, Adam, eat this. He knew. He had this really strong feeling that he knew. And he still, and why did he do that? Because at that moment, he had a little bit of fear that if he didn't listen, if he didn't do what she wanted, that she might not be there. He might lose her. But doesn't that sound kind of familiar? Making
yes,
decisions?
Yes, it does. It does.
Yeah. But I was telling my friend, I was like, you're all sitting there thinking, in some sense, the word sex is a bad thing and that kind of stuff. And it only happened after Adam and Eve did their little thing. But actually, if you read the Bible correctly, you'll see that they're in the garden being fruitful, multiplying, so are the animals.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so sex was a part of the whole freaking thing in the first place. So therefore, to sit there and say things like that's kind of crazy. Because if you read that part too, it says, from now on, since Eve did what she did, she would bear and she would give birth in pain. And it says now, basically it's implying that now you're going to have pain that goes along with this. Adam, you're going to do this. And, certain things that are brought onto them, but it seemed like there was already things that were already happening. But in the garden, there was just certain consequences that now come with it, you know. So it was like, how come
I can see that? It's back to those choices that we make. And, you know, as humans, we're going to be punished more because, you know, more than what animals would be punished because their intellect is different from we know mm-hmm. right from wrong. So that's the difference versus animals. They're trying to protect their environment and habitat and everything, you know, and food and everything. So that's
you're
like if a tiger, if a tiger sees us, you know, in their environment, believe me, they're going to attack.
It's going to see a mistake.
Yeah.
That's all he sees. Because, I mean, his life is like this. I sleep, I eat. In order to eat, I must kill. But we don't have to do that. Because I was sitting looking at that, too, like you were talking about before, about certain things going on with animals and that kind of stuff. And then the ideal, if everybody would do one thing, would basically stop feeding into fear. I mean, the guy who's at the top of the tower shooting people, he's feeling like he has to do those things or some kind of threat. And usually it's because of a job and realizing, if people would sit there and look at the idea and realize their job, people, you know, money, those things are not your support. They're not your supply and they're not your substance. But there's something a whole lot more than that, way above that, who actually created you and everything else that goes along with it. But it's amazing how people, when they're put in those fearful situations, what they do to other people and themselves. So when we sit here looking at that, you know, because I was watching television, watching the History Channel, and they're talking about Armageddon and all this other stuff, and then a lot of people don't realize the idea of the war between good and evil, as in Armageddon, is not the idea of the end of the world. It's Armageddon's actually a place in the Middle East. Where good and evil is supposed to meet to have the last battle between the two. Now, and also says in the Bible, too, that the earth and the heavens will be renewed. That to me doesn't sound like destroying. I'm pretty sure there will be certain things taken out in favor of the renewal, but it's amazing how we have to. I was watching the thing, and all these people were talking about these things, and I said, I've always felt like in the Bible it's saying, this is what's going to happen to humanity. If you guys don't change your ways and the direction you're going into. So I was like, this is crazy. So I said, you guys really, do you want the world to end? Because you guys seem like you're all focusing on that. And we know how it works in mass consciousness. And, you know, whatever you focus on usually can be diverted in that whole thing. And I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I said, it was amazing how when you sit there and watch society and you sit back and become an observer, that when you see somebody who changes their course more to a spiritual thing, it does have a tendency to affect the world.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's just your world and your environment, everybody seems to be a little more happier.
Exactly.
You know, it's like someone falls off the path. But do you have any more questions before you split?
Oh, yeah. That's it. I just mainly wanted to know about Tuesday, the settlement. Will it go through or not? And you mentioned that it will come to pass. So that's what Tuesday.
The strongest impression I got with the whole thing is the more you hold that vision, the more the reality will be just exactly what you want it to be. And I do see it being that way. So it's like, you know, I would say some of the books I've actually read and some of the things I've picked up, even the Bible, it says once you believe it and once you see it in your mind's eye, that means it exists somewhere, and it's the idea of having faith to bring it into visible form.
Exactly.
And you are the vehicle. So, like we always say before, we said this many times on this show anyway, what do you want to do? Are you going to let the world dictate your success, or are you going to dictate your success? And the idea of the co-creator you work with, you will always find success.
Absolutely. And I just want to thank you for the word and enlightenment, and just a lot of advice that, you know, you can take home, because every day is a learning experience. Something I tell my kids, I don't know everything, but, you know, I do know that every day is a good learning experience. You learn something new, and it's true every day.
Oh, I do that. When I was with my kids, I said, you know, they're saying, do you think you know everything? I said, maybe not, but for this situation we're talking about right now, what we're going over, yes, I do.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, you don't, I do, so therefore we're going to do it that way. And I said, it's one of those things that was tough. When you sit there, even with the guidance that comes through, I mean, we have to sit there and go, okay, somebody's giving you guidance, and it's a whole lot more intense what's going on. And people ask the question, how do you know? I said, how can you actually tell someone a feeling that you get, that you know it's from God or the angels or just everything around you has come through and give you a message to go on the whole thing. And then when you do follow it, you always see these positive outcomes. So how can you dispute it? But it's amazing how people do.
And you know, it's funny because we have all these beliefs and, you know, things. And I don't knock everybody's beliefs or religions or whatever, but, you know, and you have to be careful with telling your, you know, the students in class, you know, when you're teaching, you know, about God. I mean, we can talk about the history of it, you know, because it's documented, you know, in the books. But, you know, as far as, you know, trying to tell them which religion and what all that, you know, they should go into, we have to stay away from, you know, and, you know, but, you know, I just feel that, you know, there's going to always be that need for spiritual sense, and, you know, the children need it today. They definitely need spiritual sense today.
Yeah.
More than ever.
They do. I was actually reading an insert in Dr. Wayne Dreyer's book, and he was talking, I seen him on a PBS special, and he said that he was sitting there having a lecture and that kind of thing, asking questions and stuff, and people had taken their cards and asked some questions, so he was kind of going through, and he came to this one. It said, how come God allowed shootings in schools? And he said, well, so funny about it was, when he turned it over, there was actually an answer on the back of it, which said, don't you remember? You took me out of schools.
Wow.
That makes you shiver, because that's the truth. It's like saying to everybody, you want to blame God for everything else? But take responsibility for your own actions and the consequences you brought upon yourself and our children.
Exactly. Absolutely, because that is something that should be in the schools. You know, now what religion or what form they would like, the schools would like to choose, as long as it's for the greater good, the greater the cause, and that's what I look at, you know. Again, I think they should have all the beliefs in there, you know, so they can, you know, not only in a school sense, but in a spiritual sense as well when it comes to learning, and they need that. So whatever religion it may be, you know, whether it's Muslim, Jewish, or Catholic, or Christianity, or whatever it is, that, you know, if they want to put all those religions in the schools, let the kids have a choice to choose what religion they want to go into. And, you know, that way it stops all the, you know, agony as far as why he didn't join my church or my, you know.
Exactly. And no one's infringing on anybody, really. No one's infringing on anything. It's just the ideal that let's all do this together. And then even with those situations, we know for a fact, even when if you're in the same church, everybody still has a different perception of what's going on. And I think it was one of those things, that just have respect for those things, you know. Just let it go and say, okay, you know, in the process of my rights, and people are like, oh, you know, my rights says this and this and this, but it's also, it's kind of amazing that the people who are actually fighting for those rights for religion are also shoving it down someone else's throat at the same time, who doesn't like being shoved down their throat. But I was just sitting there saying, well, we just stop shoving people down people's throats and say, okay, you're right, I'm right, everybody's right. Is there any really right or wrong? No, everybody's on different paths. And so in some sense of the word, they are all right. I mean, that one, I read this in Dorian Virtue's book too, where it says, if you think you have enough time, you're right. If you think you don't have enough time, you're right. It's perception.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So just look at the situation. Look at God. I mean, look at the beginning, right? Look at the beginning. There were no religion. There was no religion. It was just, it was just, you know, the idea we had Adam in the garden. Then we had Eve. And if you want to go the other route, where they're talking about Lilith, who was actually the first wife of Adam's, who actually was the one who was, I'm not mistaken how it goes, is Adam had a wife before. And it does, there are some things in the first part of the Bible, in the Genesis, that make you think about certain things and how they really did unfold, because it does say that we make God, we make man in our image. And then later on in Genesis, it says God made Adam. Okay? So I was there, my thing was, I was there talking to people saying, hey, didn't you ever wonder that Adam and Eve left the garden, they had two children, and then one kills the other, and then the other one God marked so no one would kill him as he wandered in the desert. But then you start wondering, okay, hold up. He's wandering the desert, and then God marks him so no one would kill him. Didn't anybody ever wonder where those people came from? Because we're all sitting there looking at the thing going, there's only four people in the world. But all of a sudden, he's wandering through these cities, and I was thinking, if you read the first part of Genesis where it talks about we make man in our image, it could have been the point of that they created man, but Adam was also created as a special being to be in the garden, which is totally different than the rest. But when things kind of went down, God's like, okay, if you want to be like those people out there, you can go live among them too. But still, is if you still look at the situation and what Adam did, it was still his choice.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the choice he made. So therefore, put things in perspective. But, you know, when you look on the planet, see, the one thing we do notice that there are different ethics backgrounds. But when we talk about Adam, all we see, and I think that's what a lot of people are looking at too, in the point of like Nazis and white supremacists and all this kind of stuff, they're saying there was one perfect race, and that was Adam, and then the rest of them were created differently, so therefore they don't have to become a part of the whole, not really. If you look at the situation for what it really is, God, even the people that, if we do go in that realm of people outside the garden, as much as it was Adam and Eve inside the garden, they were still created by the same being. So, see, it's still an illusion that people want to sort of take those two and go, they're not the same, when actually they were, you know. But if we just go back in the time machine and go back that time, just get that all settled, you know, we'd have something going on for us.
But, like, stop, make the right decision, please. We wouldn't be in this predicament now.
Yeah, seriously, if I had a time machine, go back and stop Adam. You know, it's like, you don't want that freaking kiwi. Give it here. You know? I'm not going around like that, because I was sitting talking to a friend of mine. I was like, I'll try to put my point, because I read the Bible, and there's no reference in there that Adam ate an apple. It says fruit of the tree. It's the same thing with Jesus, when Jesus was born, okay? When Jesus was born, it doesn't say the three wise men. It says wise men. So everybody thinks it's sent with three gifts. There were three wise men. But I would say if there was gold was one of the gifts, and there might have been two people carrying that little sucker. So, you know, it's just pointing out that a lot of Christians will say, never take the Bible out of context, and they take it out of context all the time. So I was like, let's get that straight.
I'm going to paraphrase it this way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So just trying to help everybody out.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like, you know, the things, just pointing things out to everybody and saying, okay, we got that all down. Now you guys should be able to sit there and realize if you're created from a being who created this world, which is just a thought, so can you. So therefore, create your own life accordingly. So we could do, when we had our first child, we had debate after debate after debate. People would come in from the church. There was a church right behind us. And it was amazing on the whole thing. We could just take that energy, you know, and focus on some major changes in the world instead of going back over who's right and who's wrong. We might actually accomplish something here.
Exactly.
Well, there you go. Well, we're sorry. I didn't mean to keep you so long.
Yes. And, well, I have your Skype ID, and I have your website, so definitely I'll let you know what happened.
There you go. I'd like to hear that too, because I always tell people, even when things don't pan out, we have to look at the situation that we are the ones who create our lives. So, you know, sometimes I think it's in your best interest to come back and say, hey, this didn't happen, so let's figure out why. What was the common denominator? Was it just a little bit of that? It says in the Bible, just with the faith of a mustard seed, that we can change things. But also, on the same note, if you think about it, a little bit of a little bit of doubt in it could also create the same thing. So it's the idea of trying to cross those things over. So okay, let's don't let this happen again, and change it.
And like you said, people will tell you that, you know, it's not going to happen, or it's never going to happen. So why are you doing this, or why are you doing that? And you just have to keep at it and have a positive mind, regardless of what people think. If you feel that it's something that's going to come to pass, or whatever you're doing, you know.
Use those negative. Use the negative people as motivation is to keep yourself positive.
Exactly. And then they want to say, well, let's look at reality. This is what you're going to be doing. And, you know, God, he doesn't want you to stay in one place, stay stagnant all the time. He wants you to do better for yourself, and, you know, and prepare for other things. And I always believe that if you're doing something positive, you know, it's for the greater cause or whatever, you know, you're going to get your rewards. And, you know,
Exactly.
And I've been waiting patiently, so I have nothing to lose. So.
Yes.
So,
no, that was patient. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you know what you value.
Yeah. So. It's always, I mean, there was written, like, I had this one book. It was by a guy named John Randolph Price. It's called Super Beings, and it talks about the ideal, what we are, who we are, and what Jesus came back to show us, and the process of helping us realize just who we are, not the lack of, because in the process of Adam doing what he did, I think it's the first time, you know, that man felt not worthy, which started off a chain reaction. Then Jesus came back to show us our true potential, who we are. And that kind of stuff. So, you know, so Jesus came back and said, I'm the Son of God. So at the same time, realize who you are. Because, I mean, there's so many things in the Bible that people don't catch. Okay? Like when you were sitting, like when one example for you, is that when Jesus and the disciples were in the boat crossing, I can't remember what it was, but it was like a...
Yeah, he was in the boat. He was in the boat, and he was asleep.
Yeah, people don't understand what that means. What it's saying is Jesus is sleeping for one reason. Why? Because he had taught the disciples his words. So therefore, them sitting there feeding in the fear, the storm, there's a storm. You know, Jesus, you have to do something. And what he was doing, he was sleeping by saying, well, why don't you just do it yourself? Raise up and you have dominion. You know, you can speak the word too and do what you got to do. Because we had a thing on the thing too. We said, okay, I want you guys to answer one question for me. How many people in history have actually walked on water? And it's amazing how many people will say one. When it actually was two. Okay? When Jesus' disciples walked on water, maybe only for 5 minutes. Okay? But the point was, he did. And it was the ideal. Jesus says, as long as you have faith, you can do anything. And he did. We also have inserts in the Bible of people dancing in the fiery furnace. Not even getting burnt, not even having singes, not even smelling like smoke because of their faith. So in the process of that one thing, what Jesus is saying, just, you know, go up and tell the storm to stop. Because basically in that insert, that's what Jesus did. He got up and said, you know, the storm basically ceased. But if you look at those things, how they point out how to manifest too, don't they? By speaking the word, you can create anything you want. And so what you want to create... Because basically what Jesus is focusing on at that moment is the skies, to be clear. And if I'm not mistaken, it's what he said. You know, he wasn't focusing on the clouds or evil or anything of those things. He always focuses on the positive part, which that's what happened, brought to the forefront. Even when he cursed the tree, I mean, the cursing of the tree was the ideal of giving you an emphasis on the spoken word and how powerful it really is. So it's kind of amazing. But
and people, using those strong words... just saying, I am, you know, this and whatever it is, that's powerful right there, because you're claiming that, you know, you're going to conquer whatever it is just by saying that and using the faith, like you, as you mentioned, stepping out on the faith, you're going to conquer it.
I was like, looking at people going, okay, I was working, and I was sitting there talking about the same thing. And people say, you know, I'm working on a random. So how many readings are you going to do tonight? I am going to do 20. And it was kind of funny. After that whole time, things started falling into place. And I sat there and was up pretty late that night because I did like 7 or 8. And I said, you know something? Maybe I didn't hit my 20, but I know for a fact that what I said did create an outcome, even in the secret. You'll see that there's a guy in The Secret who's focusing on $100,000. He wants to change his income from $8,000 to $100,000 a year. Now, he says at the end of that insert, too, he says flat out that we didn't make $100,000 that year. We made $93,000. But are you really going to sit there and be that critical and say, well, since I didn't hit the $100,000, it didn't work? There was sure some major... Yeah. I'd be happy. You know? I am happy that I just made, you know, earned above the whole thing, you know.
Look, if you round it off, it was what, 100,000?
Well, you know, sometimes we have to start somewhere where we're comfortable. And I thought, because yeah, I had this lesson too. I was sitting there going, okay. Everybody said, well, you should be asking for this amount of money every week because you're talented, you're great, and you're worth is that much worth. I'm sitting there going, that's true too, but I think we should start somewhere where we can work our way up to it. Because to keep it in a situation where it's a constant progression, and say, you know, $1,000 a week for me right now would be great, or $1,000 pay period. But see, I was telling a friend of mine, I was like, I wasn't focusing on. I work for several companies and myself, so I would focus on my website $1,000 a week, working on another company, make $1,000 every pay period, and then on this company here, make $1,000. And then when you're done with the day, you're making like $3,000 a week because of each company you're working for, of kind of focusing on this thing. So therefore, it was kind of a comfortable way of earning that kind of money because I was focusing on $1,000 on each company or each situation I was working on. But my biggest thing, too, was I found some spiritual affirmation where it says focusing on your spiritual intent, focusing on those kind of things, which seems like they both work hand in hand with the idea of manifestation and keeping your mind focused, too, to realize the idea of a spiritual being and the spiritual being that you're created to.
Yes, so there's a lot of... I've been getting, you know, a lot of shakes, and, you know, I know that mm-hmm. they're spiritual shakes, and, you know, and I feel that, you know, I've been listening and trying to keep faith and trying to stay in tune with God and what He wants mm-hmm. from me. And, you know, I do believe that, you know, by staying in faith with God, He's going to do something miracle. Some miracle is going to come out of all of this at the end.
Yeah. Well, it's like looking at the situation too and realize that God created a miracle a long time ago. That's called you.
Exactly. Absolutely.
Because I was sitting there looking at those affirmations I was talking about earlier, and it's kind of amazing when you start reciting affirmations over and over again. Now, some people have a tendency to jump on the bandwagon of negativity across the board, saying what you're really doing is witchcraft. And I said, you know something? You look at the Bible. There's a fine line between manifestation and witchcraft. But see, mm-hmm. the difference is, and I noticed this too, I noticed this real clearly with some of the things I was doing with manifestation. A true manifestation always has a win-win situation where everybody wins.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Witchcraft, as in the idea of, because there's a lot of people who practice witchcraft in different ways, of wanting to enhance people's lives, even their own. So what they're doing is they've just got a different title to it, which can throw people off, okay? Because in the Bible it talks about wizardry. And it says witchcraft, but it doesn't. It's one thing I wish there was some things about the Bible described. It was because over the thousands of years, there's certain words that don't mean the same thing anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and the idea of witchcraft is basically not manifestation, it's manipulation. And even some of the people you'll see that who have a tendency to practice witchcraft will also tell you that in the process of, you know, doing witchcraft to get back a past lover, they have a habit of leaving. They have a tendency to leave because of the situation. They're not really where they want to be at, so they have a tendency that free will has a tendency to override everything. But in the process of focusing on, in a different way, like they said that you did a spell on attracting your soulmate. Now, that's mm-hmm. different because what it's doing is you're focusing energy onto a situation of bringing two people together who belong together. Not because you want somebody back, because just the ideal is, well, that's the person I want right there. Okay, so we can do that. And then, so there's different ways of doing it. But we've also seen, like, affirmations can be considered witchcraft because of the way their words and things like that, too. But it also says in the Bible, the power of the tongue. What do we speak with the tongue? He's not talking about spitting on people and making $1 million, is he? I hope not. But no, he's saying speak, you know, the word, basically what it says is the ideal, the power of the tongue means whatever you speak, good or bad, you will get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think that's why God wants you to say focus on the kingdom of God, because in the process of what he's created, it's all positive. So we focus, because some people, it's the way you look at it, and say focus on the kingdom of God or on the kingdom itself, which is a very positive place to be. But it's also in the process of changing our lives, we also want to be in a better place in our lives. So it makes perfect sense mm-hmm. to have a form of that just like that. So let's just drop, I guess it's one of the things to stop trying to be, you know, have faith, and just have faith and see what happens. And if you feel some pressure on your shoulders, just take a deep breath, try to do some meditations, and let it go, and let it fall. to the ground. I mean, my girlfriend has some really great prayers and meditations that she just takes certain bad thoughts and that kind of stuff, and she takes them down like she's envisions a tunnel underneath of her, and she takes all these negative things and she shoots them down into the tunnel, into the earth. And basically, a lot of times with the situations are just being transmuted into something more positive, which will come back again. Everything does. Even the Bible says nothing you've ever seen or experienced or had is the first time it's ever been there. It's been there in many manifestations again and again and again. It's just experienced in different ways, different perceptions and stuff. Even Jesus said, do not focus on evil.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't resist it either. In the process of not resisting it, you're not acknowledging it. You're not giving it any power. It's like I had somebody come in my shop one time, and they said, there was like four boys, and they came from the church, and they go, do you believe in God and Jesus? I said, yes, I do. I feel like, you know, with the gifts we have, and I sit there and talk for like 20 minutes. And then they came right back after I said that, and it was amazing how they were just all sitting here listening and telling people, that's what it's all about. You don't have to convince anybody of anything. When people know what they're hearing is the truth, they have a tendency to listen. And these people came, and they came back and said, hey, do you believe in the devil? I said, no, I don't. And they go, well, he exists. I said, let me rephrase it like this. And, okay, he may exist, but I do not believe in him, because if I don't believe in him, I focus. I can't believe in two things at the same time.
Exactly. Know? Well, I'll tell you this. You can be in a room with full of people who are very devilish. However, if you're doing right by God, God has a way of making these people still do right by you, no matter what the circumstances is, and they don't know even what even hit them.
That's true, because I remember I was working for the carnival, and the carnival, you know, if you have any kind of experience with the carnival, most of the people do drinking and drugs and that kind of stuff, but really when you get to know the people themselves, they might do some evil things, but realistically, in the true sense of them, they're not. And it was kind of funny, I was sitting there, and they were constantly pushing the temptation down, you know. Drink some beer, smoke some cigarettes, here, smoke some pot. And you're like, no, no, no. So one day, I got the strength to sit there and go, you know something? I don't condemn you guys for what you do, and I don't want you guys to condemn me for what I don't. I said, I respect you guys to do whatever you want to do with your lives, free will. I just ask you to do the same thing in return. And what was so funny about the whole thing was, when we had other people who would just recently get hired, who did all those things, that would come up to me and say, hey, drink some of this, smoke this. Oh, you're just a baby. You're just a big old kid. The same people I just spoke my mind to came to my defense and said, leave him alone. He doesn't drink. He doesn't smoke. He doesn't do nothing. And he's a great guy. And I was like, these are the people who party and all this other stuff who were forcing it down my throat. But as soon as I spoke my mind and said, this is who I am, they realized, well, okay, you're right. We're telling you this is who I am. So there's nothing wrong with respecting him, too, since he's respecting us. It really works.
It does. It does. And even on situations where you feel like you're outnumbered and, you know, you know what's right and things don't go your way, God still has a way of prevailing no matter what.
Every time.
And you know.
It's like you can't take self out of it. You can't sit there and say you're selfless. Because
exactly.
I think when you're saying selfless, you're actually saying I'm being selfish. But you see the people who say I give of myself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said the same thing. I give up myself. And so when you start to look at those situations to realize the true potential of who you are, even the Bible says, you know, love yourself as you love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as you love yourself.
But you know, God takes more of people who. Most people who are successful are those who've been rejected, and you know, these people, they're doing what's God's will, you know, not going by politics and all this other stuff that's, you know, just trying to fit in and, you know, all that stuff. It's these people who are rejected, and you know, they're down and out, and God says, look, I'm gonna lift you back up again. Because I know what you're doing. And, you know, these are the type of stories I like to hear, because I feel that, you know, God still has a way of talking to you and through you when mm-hmm. it's time for you to be moved again when you're down and out. And, you know, no matter what people throw at you, God still has your back. So it is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. So we just try to keep things clear and that kind of thing, so we'll be okay.
Yes.
Well, thank you for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for the reading. And I'll definitely I'll have your Skype here, and I'll give you my Skype. It's J.Sims4. So
okay.
Definitely, I can talk with you about that and, you know, what goes on Tuesday.
Okay.
And I'm just going to, you know, take it as, you know, it's up to me to make it happen, you know. And if it doesn't, you just keep moving on until it happens, whatever happens.
There you go. That's it. So, yeah, just send me a Skype invitation.
I sure will.
All right. You have a great night, and thank you for calling in. I appreciate it, too.
Thank you. I enjoy your show. Even though I took up your whole show.
Hey, you know, I think it's a lot of things that everybody learned too. So I'm pretty sure everybody's listening and taking it in. I hope, because I'm sure anybody's hearing what's going on right now, I'm pretty sure it resonates with their lives and somehow.
Oh yes. And we've talked about other things other than reading. So you know, I think people. Most people can take it in and say, I understand where you're coming from, or, you know, it's a learning experience.
Yes, it is. So let us know about what happens in your life. And cause I mean, seriously, I'd like to hear what's going to go down in this situation, because I feel very positive about it, too. So.
Oh, yeah.
And you have a fantastic week, too, okay?
You too. And it was great talking to you.
Same here.
And God bless
you. Bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. That sucks. April, how are you?
I'm good.
It's amazing.
just got back from working.
Yes, having fun.
I was about to make a peanut butter banana chocolate smoothie.
Interesting.
It's like Reese's cups.
You what?
I said those. They're good. They taste like Reese's cups.
Oh. Actually, I was sitting there and I was looking down, going, "Okay, there was somebody in the queue, 623, I wish they would call back. Let us sit down and talk to them too. And then there is somebody in the queue, but I'm not really sure, so I'm going to go find out if they want to talk or ask a question or two, which is actually area code 904.
I guess it's good morning. How are you today?
How am I today? That's a good question. So you're calling from my, if I'm not mistaken, Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah, put me out on blast. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I told everybody before when I bring them on the show, they have little question marks, but yours didn't have a question mark, so I wasn't too sure if you wanted to come on or not. And if it's one of those, if it was one of those things where you did want to come on, that's okay. I can always put you back on mute, but if you have a couple questions you'd like to ask us, you're more than free to ask.
Okay, so what kind of questions can I ask tonight?
I think you can ask anything you want.
All right.
There's
no limitations here. Your special angel reading. You know, this is Sarah from Florida.
So how you been, Sarah? It's been a while since we talked to you.
Yeah, it's been a while. I'm doing well.
That's good. Are you still looking for a soulmate?
I wasn't looking for a soulmate. I was looking for a soul job.
Okay. Never heard of it that way before, but okay. I understand where you're coming from. So you're still looking for a job, huh?
Yes. I kind of got, you know, one or two good leads, and one is with the city, and might have some favor with the person who's worked there probably for a good 25 years or so. So we'll see. But I'm just trying to enjoy, you know, each day's journey as it is, you know, because you know, all the other areas of my life are going, you know, okay. You know, I'm just lacking a job with the, you know, income that I need right now. So it's coming.
Let me see something real quick here. So April, so is there anything you pick up yourself?
I'm picking up something similar to, like, the DMV, the office. Something like that for the social services building where there's, like, long lines of people waiting.
Yeah, I remember those.
Those will drive you crazy.
Does that ring a bell?
No.
As far as
you know,
that would hire you?
With the particular position, you know, it may be long lines of people waiting.
Let's see.
Yeah.
No.
Wait, I didn't hear you when you said what position you that you were that you might get.
Well, it was just I just made the comment that a job with a city, and you know a referral, you know, hopefully, you know, once my application is you know received, he can put in a good word for me, and you know in that position there probably will be long lines of people coming in to pay their bills.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
When you pick up on the whole thing as a whole, you know, what you're talking about and that kind of stuff coming through, you feel like it's something that's going to definitely unfold because, I mean, the thing I got the most was it's going to put down three cards. The first one I got out was blessings. And the idea of you socializing with people and being very clear about your clear intentions of what you really want to do. It shows the idea of emerging and when things are falling into place, but it's also the idea of talking about surrender and releasing. Surrender and releasing is the idea of what you've been through to let go of that whole thing and in favor of what's going to go on. And the reason I get that is because the final card I got in the three-card spread that I put down, it was Archangel Michael. And it's just the idea of protection and not being scared of what's going to go down and just letting go. Because the next card I got on top of the Archangel Michael card was actually angel therapy, which it talks about giving your cares and worries to the angels and allow yourself to let go of your burdens in favor of letting these situations and these solutions come into your life a whole lot quicker. When are you supposed to hear about this?
I forget the exact date the job will close this month, but the month is almost over, so, you know, the deadline for, you know, accepting applications and all will, you know, be this month.
Mm-hmm. But this does have compassion, soften your heart to the situation, which means you. And trust. I mean,
the final card I got was trust.
Voting. Okay, I'm gonna write that word down because I've been writing down words that, you know, I hear and I've heard the trust word before. You know, I've heard the aware word. You know, appreciate. You know, gratitude. So, you know, it's kind of like I, you know, write the words down and, you know, look up the meaning, you know, even though you kind of know what trust is, but sometimes I like to look up the dictionary meaning of it, you know, just to see what it says.
Yeah, I was also looking up in my angel book here, your area code 904, and basically 904 means God and the angels are supporting you as you focus on serving spiritual purpose in this world. It's showing things. It says God is guiding you to make helpful and positive changes in your career so that you can devote your time and energy towards your divine life purpose. You know, I sit here and look at those things and just say, hey, you know, God is assuring you that all your material needs will be provided for as you focus on serving the divine with your kriya, which means the idea of constantly giving of yourself. As you work and do these things, and it seems like you have a tendency to, in work environments, you have a tendency to really help people, as in advice and talking and that kind of stuff.
Right.
People have a tendency to gravitate towards you.
You see that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, true, you know, and I sometimes have to, you know, block some of that stuff because I can't hear myself. It's like, enough already. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. I don't say that to them, but I say that to myself. It's like, nope, not answering my phone today or for 2 days, you know. Yeah.
Right. And it's just one of those things when you sit and look at the job that you're talking about and the idea of what's going down, just interacting with people. And sure, you know, I think there has to be boundaries. When those boundaries are not respected, and you have the right to respect yourself by, you know, reinforcing them by saying, I'm sorry, I'm not going to deal with you right now. Like you said, you don't have to say it to them. You're just doing it in honor of what you know you need to do.
Right, right. Because, you know, some people, they stay in the same state, and you have to listen to their same stuff over and over. It's like doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. And, you know, I can't be your dump.
No, we know that one. We know that one beyond a shadow of a doubt because we get the same stuff over too, where people are constantly calling us and saying, hey, you know something? Is Joe going to come back? And you're like, I could have told you last week that Joe's not coming back.
You know, and I know like, that one right there. If I hear that one more time, I wish I could lock him up and throw the key away.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, okay, she's got perfect information that keeps coming through over and over and over again saying, you know, even the ideal, it's a feeling. They always get a feeling within themselves saying, okay, this ain't going to happen. But for some reason on the surface, they get this fear that kicks in and says, well, maybe there's something I'm not doing right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. One thing you're not doing right is realizing what you saw and move on.
Mm-mm-mm. It's like I saw a quote someone had on Facebook, Maya Angelou, when people show you themselves, believe them.
Yeah. And that's it. Yeah, you're right. Because it's like we were sitting talking about relationships. We were sitting telling, you know, I said to the lady, I said, look at the situation realistically. The reason he's being the way he is, the way he's distanced himself from you, that kind of stuff, tells you one thing. He's definitely not emotionally available.
Okay.
And it's like, okay, so you're sitting there going, well, what can I do to help him do that? Well, let's sit there and look at the situation, what you've already done. And they go, I haven't done nothing. Yes, you have. You loved him, and he's having a problem with it. Okay, so look at the situation. You sit there and say that you want to find somebody who loves you as much as you love them and express it.
Mm-hmm.
He's
mm-hmm.
not. So it doesn't mean that the ideal, there's not true love between the two of you. That's the confusing part. You're saying, we love each other. Yeah, but the point is, at this moment in time, it's not working.
Okay.
So you need to let go of it and realize one thing. Maybe in the process of letting it go, you'll get a resolution to the whole situation, which I think is a realization of saying you're looking for somebody in your life. And you're saying, well, he's not doing the things he's supposed to do. No, he's doing exactly what he's supposed to do, being himself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But you're not. You're not being yourself right now because really, he's just brought something into his life that he can't deal with. Doesn't that prove to you right there that you are real and authentic? What you're doing, he sees that, but he doesn't want to know part of it.
Okay.
So don't blame yourself. But if you keep yourself in a situation like that, you are disrespecting yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He disrespects you. So that's just saying, take a little toss and you know, and when I was sitting there, I think this is right too. I was sitting there looking at the soulmate prayers. I had my book, and I was, and there's one thing I came across is, it said, take the names off of them and just start focusing on your soulmate. Say, I really want my soulmate. By divine right, I want to be with my soulmate. And if this person comes forward and lets go of the blocks and let it happen, then more likely he was the one. But if he doesn't and someone else presents themselves, have the courage to that's a realization for yourself and let go and move on with the person who's actually being there for you.
Right, right. Is it possible for you to do, you know how you did the 904, is it possible for you to do 857?
Sure. Let me find it. 857.
857.
Mm-hmm. 857. Let's see, 857 is you're making the perfect changes at the perfect time, which will enable you to heal your career and finances. Keep going.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that helps.
Yeah. That's my house number. I was just curious as to what that says since you did the 904.
Gotcha.
Okay. All right. Did I hear you say something while I was listening to you earlier about the secret?
The secret, yeah. The secret, there was a guy named Jack Canfield who actually wrote the books called Chicken Soup for the Soul. And he was focusing on $100,000. I guess at the time he was making like $8,000 a year. He wanted to increase it to $100,000. He started focusing. It was actually working with somebody, too, that came to him and said, I want you to sit there and focus on one thing in your life, that if you actually focused on it with the techniques I give you and changed it to the point where your life was better, those kind of realizations have a tendency to make you change your perception on almost everything to start going from will it happen to I wonder what else I can do, you know. And what he did was he started focusing on $100,000, and he had some nice techniques. What he would do is he took a dollar bill, took a magic marker, and made a $100,000 bill out of it, and taped it above his bed, and right where the very first thing he saw when he woke up in the mornings was that $100,000 bill. And before he would get out of bed, he would focus for 15 minutes on what his life would be like if he made $100,000 a year. And then for the rest of the day, he did nothing but put himself in a position of being thankful and grateful for everything in his life that he already had. And when it all came down to the end of the whole thing, he said he put things out there and said, you know, basically was focused on certain things to do. If I could get some kind of information in a major magazine or a major paper where people see things, he felt like that would also attract things to him. So he was listening to his guidance. And he put it out there and said, well, you know, what would be a great thing to do? And he's like, you know something, if I could get my freaking, some information in, like, the Inquirer or something like that, that would be great because that would give me exposure. People would know I have this book and these things like that, and people would gravitate to me. And then he was doing a lecture, and this lady walked up to him after the lecture and said that she'd like to do a piece on him. And he goes, who do you write for? And she goes, well, I'm actually a freelancer, but I submit most of my stuff to the Inquirer. He said that he started hearing a little Twilight thing in the back of his head.
Right, right, right.
And I was like, yeah, but see the bottom line of the whole thing was a lot of people give up and get discouraged because they don't get exactly what they want.
Right.
Okay, they don't realize there's progression and other things of just thinking, but that one focus would definitely make a change. What happened was, he said at the end of the year, he didn't make $100,000 a year, but he said we did make
$93,864.
How grand
is that?
Right. So you look at the situation and you go, okay, if you're going to sit there and say it didn't work, then you're being too cynical. You have to look at the situation because look how drastically your life changed. You went from $8,000 to
$93,000.
So what you need to do is just kind of look at the situation again and say, is there something I could change to make it more of a positive outcome or more of a positive solution? Or maybe hit the freaking target. but you seem like you're hitting something good because something was changing. I know I could handle $93,000 a year. So he went from that point on and he decided to start, and his wife came to him and said, well, we did that, and you think we could do it for $1 million? He's like, I don't see why not. So, you know,
right.
It's one of those things. On that, the point was he went through the process for the first time and generated $93,000. So the next time when he went for the $1 million, he had retweaked everything, reformulated it because of certain things or certain things he thought saw that he needed to change. So when he did the next time, he did manifest $1 million.
Right.
So
right. I thought I heard you mention that because I have the DVD that I checked out from the library because I've heard it on different BTR shows. And so finally
mm-hmm.
it's like I, you know, got the DVD, so I stuck it in my DVD player. So I'm returning it tomorrow. So I thought I heard you say that. So something to say, watch it
mm-hmm.
one more time before you return it. And another
yeah.
thing I heard you say was I am. You know, it's kind of like, oh, how do you say it? You know, it's kind of like when you hear one preacher preach a message and then you turn the TV on and bam, there's another preacher preaching the same message. And I heard you say something about
right.
I am. And it's like I've heard I am, you know,
right.
on
mm-hmm.
different BTR shows as well as from a minister on a prayer line. I am. So it's kind of like, you know, today, because it seems like I'm having a hard time with procrastinating. So, you know, I don't know whether it's because of, you know, the situation I'm in, and I just, you know, just don't even try to put the, you know, first
mm-hmm.
foot forward. So I wrote
mm-hmm.
out a little affirmation that's right by my computer. So on the index card, you know, that says, I am not a procrastinator. I am a finisher, always completing what I plan and what I start. I will
mm-hmm.
not be distracted. I am the goal achieving Sarah D in all areas of my life. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
as I'm working on the computer, I'm going to, you know, just pick that up, you know, while the screens are changing and just, you know, keep that in my spirit so I can get out of this, you know, little lull I'm in.
Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, the only thing that would change in the situation was some of the affirmations that have the negative word in it. I would just take it to the point of just saying, I am focused. I am focused. And then focus on what you're focusing on to reaffirm that and just a little bit. Because, I mean, I did this. When I first started doing it, too, I would sit and do this kind of things, but I noticed that sometimes it would kind of work against me. And then plus, I had a friend of mine who would always curse his computer and then get mad because he said, it doesn't get any better. I said, if somebody cursed you, would you get any better? So
okay.
Why don't you sit there and say, instead of saying God, you know, God or GD the computer, say God bless the computer and then see what happens.
Okay.
Or God. Yeah, so because... And then I'm saying with your situation, if it's just simply, I will not be distracted, it could be like a little tone of negativity. So you just say, I am focused. I mean,
okay.
For example, I got some affirmations. I got a book full of them. And I was sitting there saying them, you know, I like this one here, is if you're looking to say, my talents are in demand. I am recognized. I am lucky. I attract opportunities for abundance and success. I get all the help I need. There's a lot of people sitting there going, no one wants to help me. Well, keep
right.
reaffirming that one, you know?
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, I get help. I get all the help I need. I stay calm, centered, and focused. That was what I was looking for.
Okay.
You know, it's like,
okay.
It's like I'm resourceful. I use my time wisely. There was one on here where it says, I'm successful. I share my wealth.
Right.
But there was,
I like that one.
Yeah, I share my wealth. And what was the one? There was one in here, too. Because I was there telling the guy about the other one. If you're in a business, this is what I recommend here. It's like, I enjoy receiving incredible amounts of money, prosperity, acknowledgement, success, and fulfillment from my work as Mind to Psychic Medium, Spiritual Advisor, Radio Show Host, Shop Owner. So, you know, and it's always now and forever. I am
in Colorado.
Yes. Yeah, I guess we should sort of do that, shouldn't we? So I was saying all those things too, and finally just got really focused and said, I want to go to Colorado. And I actually said this too. I sit here and said, you know
right.
something? The first time I went to Colorado, it didn't cost. I got to go there with all expenses paid, and I feel like I deserve it again. And my mom came to me about a week later and said, "Since you've been helping your brother and stuff, we're going to give you $500 and a bus ticket back to Colorado." And I'm like, "Whoa, maybe I should have said that a long time ago. I deserve it." That's one. I deserve it. I deserve it. Or my favorite
but,
one.
You know,
try this one here. If you like, I mean, people are looking for houses and stuff like that. The thing I saw was, what was that one at? Was it? I am. What I did was I saw this one, and this, the reason I'm saying this is because sometimes you see affirmations that don't sit with you right. Like this one here said, "I am on my way to becoming $1 million richer." And I felt like if I said that, it would always be on its way, but it would never get here.
Right.
So,
right.
So I said, "I am on my way to becoming $1 million richer because I am $1 million richer now and always." So it's like,
okay,
we can change these things to fit us, to resonate with what we can do. Like this one here, "I easily earn money from my efforts. I am empowered to act on my ambitions and desires. I always find a positive way around any obstacle. I freely give to others and receive blessings in return. I am open to receiving abundance in my life. I am grateful for everything I receive from the universe. I deserve to live a purposeful and happy life, living abundantly." Don't say it too fast. You might get your tongue all tied up in that one. But
right, right. But,
one,
you know, I mean, it sounds so much better speaking, you know, what you want out of your mouth instead of what you don't want, because if you have what you say, don't you want to speak what you want? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, the Bible clearly says to speak those things that be not as though they are, you know? And,
exactly.
You know, even though people read the Bible, it's almost like, you know, they do the opposite, you know, and you just keep listening to them. It's like, wow, you know, let me just try speaking the positive, you know.
There's a lot of things in the Bible, too, because I was sitting there telling a friend of mine, I was like, you know, you're sitting there mourning for your person who passed away, and you've been doing it for like 6 months.
Okay.
I said, it's really ridiculous because the person's gone, and the person's happier, but not you.
Okay.
You're
okay.
All in misery. Let's go look in the Bible. The Bible says you
okay.
should have mourned. You should never
mourn for 30 days.
More than 30 days.
Okay.
I said, you know something? If we did that with relationships and jobs and everything else, we
okay.
might be getting somewhere with our lives and say, okay, then what's happening? I mean, do we really need an arrow on everything to point us and say, okay, this is end, and this pointing in the direction to keep going because you're still alive, so you need to live your life, and there's nothing wrong with it. I just did a reading for somebody who felt like he needs to hang on to his girlfriend who passed away like weeks before I started talking to her, and I was like, it was kind of funny how he was going on this campaign to keep that connection going on. And sometimes mm-hmm. I think sometimes you have to realize one thing: if connections and not letting go of those connections, those attachments, have the tendency to also not just work against us, but the person who's passed away. If you are still emotionally attached to that person, sometimes that person has a hard time moving on too. So
mm-hmm,
you're actually
mm-hmm.
both. You're both. You're not doing either one of you guys a good favor.
Right.
You need to let go of the whole situation, just kick it loose and say, okay, the person, I mean, just say that person wants to come through and communicate with you. You're so focused on grieving, you're not going to hear
yeah.
it.
Right.
And you could be getting the answers you've been looking for.
Right. When's your birthday, Donnie?
Actually, it's next week, April 26th.
Okay. Because, you know, I mean, it takes some time, you know, to kind of get there, you know, as far as like what you're saying. But, you know, maybe people don't read the Bible or go to church. But, you know, once you be reading it and stuff, I mean, it's just so clear, you know, that you have to keep moving, you know, cheerfully,
yeah.
as cheerfully as possible.
I was trying to get people to look at the Bible and try to see the positive things within it and say, okay, look what happened here. You know, people look at it and go, oh, look at this, Simon. Okay, Solomon. Simon, I guess I think too much. I've been watching a lot of Britain's Got Talent. But Solomon, we've got Solomon, Gomorrah, we got other things in the Bible. But what it was showing, and like we talked about before with Jesus and the boat, they're crossing the sea. I think they were actually crossing the Red Sea. I don't know. I'm not really sure, but I knew they were crossing the sea. It was the Sea of Galilee. But anyway, it was so funny how people can't see these certain things. They stand out. So And it's so clear that you can do these things yourself. And even there's certain inserts in the Bible that Jesus actually says, which is kind of funny how some people look at me and say, it doesn't really say that in the Bible, because there's other things that go along with it. But there are also some things that I have a tendency to jump out at you for a reason, that you don't need a definition for me every time. It's the idea, because when you look at the Bible, does anybody feel like I do too, that God wasn't communicating as in this big voice coming from the sky? I think it was intuition. But he's always talking to individuals. And you ask yourself, why would he need a freaking be that dramatic to talk to one individual? You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like when I've seen some pictures, I've seen some paintings are pretty cool, where they show Adam and Eve. And they show God and Adam before Eve, as in the garden together. And what's so funny about those pictures is one's not bigger than the other. They're actually the same size. And when we sit here and look at the situation where it says God made you and me and Adam in his image, well, if he's like 20 feet tall, how come we're not 20 feet tall? See, that's a contradiction.
Mm.
So see how you look at the situation. People want to make God bigger because they don't want to look at themselves and how powerful they are.
Mm.
So they want to belittle everything. When they should be saying, look at the situation, go, God gave, I get. God's basically saying to you, I give you everything you need to have the life you want.
We're made in his image.
What's that?
I said we're made in his image.
He also gave us dominion too. We have the power over.
Okay. The fish and the sea.
So when we got to do it. It was a thing I read one time, and it made perfect sense. We're the only mammals on this planet who actually pay to live here. But at the same time, we've also created these things to work against us, because we're constantly working against ourselves, because we won't come to the realization that we can manifest in free will. Has anybody heard this saying? It says, like we've all heard this from our parents, I want whatever it is. And the parents will go, what do you expect me to do? Materialize it out of thin air? Did you ever think
that money grow on trees?
Yeah, or does it grow in trees? So I'm thinking to myself, this trait it back on the one that says, what do you expect me to do, to materialize it out of thin air? Because maybe at one time in history, that's exactly what was going on. Anything Adam and Eve ever wanted was given, because they had that really strong faith that whatever they spoke, they got, and they did. Until they had faith in lack of faith in themselves, which was the idea of eating from the tree or the bush or whatever it is. It's just I think the fruit could be also a metaphor of temptation, of feeding into something you think you need because of the lack of faith within yourself. And ask yourself, okay, so therefore how can we correct the situation? It's the idea of realizing how powerful you are. Stop doing that. And start saying to yourself, I have the means to have what I want. I have the means to purchase anything I desire when I desire it. I think we should change a little bit and say, I have the means to always have what I desire when I desire it. Not just limits the idea of money and that kind of stuff, because I've seen a lot of people talking about the manifestation and the secret, but there's always that little bit of logic. There's always that little bit of logic that keeps still in there, like saying, you know, there's certain things you can't do. I'm sitting there going, but that kind of defies what you just said, when the law of attraction will help you manifest anything you want, but then they come back with a little thing on things. I said, that thing is why a lot of people have a tendency to gravitate toward the Bible, too. It says, you have not because you ask not. So therefore, it doesn't specify. So why do humans have a tendency to specify on the whole thing? It's because their own insecurities are thinking that they have to keep things human. They have to keep that human quality in there.
Right.
I don't know. To me, I think we should go really completely divine, to the point where, because a friend of mine said, if the world ends tomorrow, aren't you kind of scared? No, that means we're all being divine. What's so scary about that? So some people don't like your answers. You know, when you say, like we were talking a couple weeks ago about lying. I said, you know something? We have people who come up with little stories to justify lying. And I think the reason they do is to justify what they're lying about, or maybe lying to themselves. So I was sitting there looking at the thing going, It's amazing how you come back with these logical, very powerful messages, and they want to sit there and look at you like, a lot of times they don't say anything to you. They look at you like they're mad because you just kind of like gave them a choice. And there was one guy came to me. I've had people come to me with this one story where they go, here's the story. You got to lie. Okay, so what's the story? I already heard the story, so I was already ready. But they came to me and said, hey, this is the scenario that you have to lie, so this just justifies the idea of saying there's certain things where you lie. I said, okay, let me have it. He said, okay, there's a neighbor who's beating up his wife. Boom. And he tells he's going to kill her. And she escapes from there, right? And she comes to your house, and you got her hiding in the closet. You know, when the guy comes knocking on your door, you got to lie to him, because if you don't, he's going to kill her. I said, no, you don't. There's choices. There's always choices. You don't have to lie about it. And he goes, they're like, how's that? I said, you're saying that he's next door, she comes to your house, you shut the door, lock it, she's hiding in your closet, and we consider and say she's in the house, okay? He comes banging on the freaking door, and you're sitting there saying that I have to answer the door, and I got to tell him a lie, that she's not there. And I say, no, you don't. Don't answer the door. So therefore, you're putting yourself in a position where you have to do anything.
Okay.
You know, your main focus should be on protecting the woman, which means you don't open the door.
Okay.
Yeah. So you don't have to lie about anything. You just have to look at the situation and realize all your choices. So you won't. And so that's a fearful thing. You're saying, okay, I'm fearful. If I tell this guy, he'll kill her. So therefore, you open the door and feel like you got to lie to him when basically you should be protecting both yourselves and not open the freaking door in the first place. It's like anything, like phones and calls and stuff like that. Oh, this guy keeps harassing me. Well, quit answering the phone.
Okay.
Or if it is him, hang up. Well, he yelled at me. You sit there and look at people in these certain victim things, you're starting to think, well, you know, it's like we said before, no one or no things ever hurt you. It's the things you allow. People are like, well, there's been situations. We had a thing on the show where we had a lady on here who was molested as a child. And somebody said, well, you know, when you're a child, all these things happen to you, you have no control over it. And she came back and said, yeah, you do. She goes, I was in this situation you're talking about. When I was 8 years old, I was molested by a neighbor. But you know something? Intuition kicked in and told me not to go there. And I didn't listen. So I put myself in a situation when I should have listened. And it's the idea of choices. There's choices, choices, choices. And when you have these things happening, that kind of stuff, don't get mad at people. Just look at the situations and fight it for yourself because it's there for you to see too. It's not the idea of getting into an argument and arguing about it and saying, you're wrong because this guy did this and this and this. Yeah, that guy did what he did, and there's no justification for that. But what was your actions that put you in the position to be hurt in the first place? We've all been in those vulnerable situations where we make decisions and we get hurt. I mean, even if it's as simply as making the wrong choice to go down the wrong street and getting hit by a car.
Right.
And then you trace back later on, there was an intuitional thing that said, don't do it. We had that one about the lady who got raped and beaten up and left in a house for dead. She was a realtor. And I thought it was kind of funny how people got appalled when she decided to take accountability 100% for her actions that put her in that situation where that guy was able to even do that thing to her. And they were like mad at her. Oh, what are you talking about? This guy was a mean person. And she goes, I'm not justifying what he did to me. But if I would have listened to my angels and guides who were talking to me the whole time, I wouldn't listen to them. I wanted to go. And she goes, basically what it is she wanted to go sell a house.
Right.
So see, what happened was she didn't have faith in herself or angels. What she had faith in at that moment was that mighty dollar, which put her in a situation where she got beat up, raped, and almost killed because of chasing after money. And it's one of those things of helping people realize one thing. You don't have to chase after nothing. It will all come to you. And it even says in the Bible, be still.
Mm-hmm.
Be still, don't move, don't do nothing. Just sit right there, have faith, and it'll all come pouring right to you. And that's what I'm saying when we have this logical thing come in. People sit there and go, you know something? If you don't get out of that freaking house, you're never going to meet nobody. But see, her intuition's kicking in and says, no, my angel says I should stay right here. I don't have to go looking for love. Love will come to me. And then she marries her mailman. See?
Oh.
She listens. You didn't see that one coming, did you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm visualizing my mailman right now. No.
I got you. I'm just saying, you know, what I'm saying is she listened to her intuition.
Right, right.
Because that really, to tell you the truth, at that moment, it was a learning experience for me, too, because I told her, I said, you know, I understand you're going to meet somebody, that kind of stuff, and I just feel like you need to get out of the house. But I wasn't really reading her. I picked up the information that she was going to meet somebody. It was going to be soon. But then I think I read a book that day about you need to get out and do things and interact with the society and blah, 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 blah. And I kind of went against what I normally do was the idea of listening to the whole story. And I kind of put a little bit of logic in there. And then you hear this story unfold and you're like, every situation is a learning experience for everybody. Everybody who hears it. There's always something in there to be learned for yourself. And I sit here and listen to the situation and realize one thing. We can't sit here and say you can manifest anything you want and then have a tendency to come back and say, well, there's certain pieces and stuff that you got to do. When that's still an intuitional thing for each individual to do. So follow through and see what happens. That's what you did. Then you start hearing stories of all kinds of people who just listened to guidance, put them in situations that didn't make any sense at first. And then I think at that time, too, there were some things going on, too, that changed within my life of walking into a very expensive furniture store trying to find furniture for my shop. You know, I was there to tell my angels, I don't have any money. Just go into the shop anyway. So, you know, it's one of those things to just listen, follow through, and see what happens. I go into the shop. I'm looking around going, $200 tables. And the lady goes, we got some more tables in the back. Okay, get back there. There's still $100. I'm sitting there, and I told myself, too. I said, okay, I know I came in here for a reason. They brought me in here for a reason. There's something here for me, or they would never have brought me in the first place. I just don't see it. I turned around real quick, and there's these tables in the corner. And I looked at the lady, and I said, how much are the tables in the corner? And she goes, oh, those are free. We're trying to get rid of those. You can take as many as you want. You know, so you're sitting there going, hold up. So just by just letting down the resistance, just follow your guide.
That's an amazing story.
Yeah.
You know, gives me hope, okay?
Yeah, it's like I was telling a friend of mine, I said, yes, you're right. I'm at a hotel right now, but you know something? I have no utilities. I get towels and toilet paper. Don't pay them. All this. And we have to look at these situations every time we get into them, of looking at all the positives.
The gratitude.
So when you start, and it seems like every time you look for that and you let go and hold things, something always comes through to make you go,
right.
That's what it's about. Yeah. So it's like the idea. I'm sitting here for a while, be patient, and I'm going to walk into a really beautiful apartment, exactly where I want it, with the kind of neighborhood. And
so you've relocated since I've talked to you last?
I'm in Colorado.
You are?
Mm-hmm.
I was joking because you've been talking about Colorado for a while. You were there? Oh, my God. I'm so excited for you.
You're supposed to manifest a job and donate to my fund so I get here.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm just joking with you. You're right. But it happened just the way it did, so therefore you're looking for motivation. I have a great outcome.
So you are in Colorado.
Yes, I'm actually working with somebody right now. We're planning on opening a metaphysical shop here, too.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, right now, you know, you got that other stuff to concentrate on, and where you're at is, you know, ideal for the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I'm happy for you. And happy for you.
Yes, and I have April, are you there?
I am excited. You know, I was just making a little joke about Colorado earlier. I did not know that you were actually there.
Oh, yeah. So I sit and said, yes, I am now in Colorado. And I'm sitting there going, yes, I am.
Okay. That's wonderful. Because you've been talking about it. And talking about it, and now you're there.
I was trying to get done. I was trying to get April to say something, because she's my girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, how long have you been trying to get my attention?
Last 2 hours. Oh, so I say April's my girlfriend, all of a sudden she hears that. Hello.
Okay. Yeah, she knows when the pipe is.
Well, I was cooking and blending smoothies and all sorts of loud stuff, so I had my mic on mute.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, also, me and her actually, she works for Keen, she works for Aranum. We both do.
Uh-huh.
And we usually work really well on this show, and she's usually giving some great insight, but she's got her own stuff going on right now she needs to take care of, so...
She gave me some, you know,
three jobs.
She was honored with me.
What's that?
So I said she was honored, you know, with saying what she said about, you know, and not really hearing what I had said. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'll keep you posted on it. But I know where I really, you know, want to be, but I got to get this job as my vehicle, so,
mm-hmm.
you know.
You got a plan? You got an agenda.
Yeah.
You got to do what you got to do, so no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like everything's falling in place for you. We got that number for your house number, and we got your house. And it seemed like, that seemed like to me was some very positive affirmations and positive answers for you. So, you know, if you got one of these books, I would get one of these books. Because, I mean, I was telling a friend of mine, the last time I had my shop up here, I would sit there in the doorway, and when I would have, like, days where I would have some kind of doubt because maybe nothing was coming in at that moment.
Right.
It was like I would read these numbers in this book, and they would point out saying, you have to have faith. You have to keep your courage. You got to keep focused. And it was so funny how every time I would look at these things going, that's exactly what's going on right now. So
right.
like, and then we started looking at the situation and getting a little more depth in it too. When it says, keep the faith, or your finances are good, or affirmations and prayers, keep it going. And I was sitting there going, I'm not doing any, which means we'll get to it. So, you know, but try to focus on certain things. I've learned a lot of things, too, in the process of relationships and everything else like going on. If there are certain things that are going on that are unfavorable, affirmation's good for actually helping you focus on the favorable part that you want to see, so therefore it will be that way.
And you don't listen to the chatter in your mind, you know, speaking of affirmations, kind of cancels out the chatter, you know, that would normally go on in your mind, that doubt, you know, the enemy comes in and try to say, that can't work for you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have an affirmation or a scripture or something ready to, you know, speak it out, you know. And that's one thing I've got to practice on more is speaking my affirmations out loud and not just reading them, you know, speaking them out loud.
That's something
you know,
people have trouble doing, too. But that's what, because I've been doing things like, to get more into tune with that, doing things like, and I'm working on Aranum, which is actually a psychic company where people see you all the time. I'm sitting there, and I don't have anybody in the chat room or something where I'm sitting there waiting for to work with people and people to push the button to do private readings and stuff. I'll just start sitting there reading my affirmations out loud.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's kind of amazing when I start focusing. I'll find certain ones to focus on that have to do with
mm-hmm.
career and work and that stuff. Next thing I know, the chat room kicks in, and there's been some really powerful mornings where I've made, she's like in 2 hours, not even 2 hours, I don't think, was like made $200. What was it? The beginning, what was it, last week? On a Wednesday,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting there going, no money. I got to pay this room today. What's happening, you know? And then I just started
mm-hmm.
listening to some guidance. I'd done a lot of things before that with affirmations and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I started looking for other positive things to say and do. And then next thing I know, I got a prompting to call a friend of mine, and that came through. And then after that one, it seemed like the damn walls broke open, and somebody contacted me for a reading. And it just seemed like it was just came to a brick wall, and then, you know, brick by brick, those things started falling to the wayside. And I started looking at all the things I'd done and just finding a nice affirmation or even a bunch of them, I just say, okay, I am bound, determined to be successful.
Mm-hmm,
so I just
mm-hmm.
bound to do that and just put it out there and say, okay, hey, look at this, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've heard a lot of your stories, and I right now I'm thinking about the one where you said what was it, your landlord, you know, thought you were selling drugs or something because people were lined up outside the door.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm kidding. Yeah, I was about it. Yeah, I was like, what are you doing? I'm like, I do have a drug, but it has nothing to do with what you think it is. So, you know, it's all those things popping into place and going, okay, people are misunderstanding. And then when they get to the door, they're like, okay, it's not what I'm thinking, but what you got. And it's like, it was just the idea of believing yourself. It was
you
crazy.
Used your faith for where you were at. You know, you described mm-hmm. how you... you know, I don't know what you did. You covered up something and made you a table or whatever and, you know, start scheduling appointments where you were. You know, sometimes
oh,
you got to do it.
My second shop. Yeah, well, I got my second shop. I was sitting there and I saw this potential of working on this shop, but I kind of blew it off for a while. And then once I made a decision and said, okay, I keep seeing that blue door. It keeps getting brighter and brighter. So I said, I think we should call him and see what's up with him. You know, it could have been discouraging at first because I walked up to the freaking door and it said for rent, but there was no freaking phone number. So I was like, okay, got to do a little research. And there's two shops on either side. Let's just go and check it out and see what happens. So we did. And then next thing I know, as I got to tell everybody before, it's the idea of going out what you want. And that's when I found that table, that free table. And then there was a sink in there, nasty sink. And I was like, I just started looking at these things and knowing there was a solution to each one of these things, and that's what I did. Just got the thing turned around and everything, and then I turned the sink into a bookshelf of the throws that I had in there, covered it up nicely where I could just put things on the whole thing. And everybody thought it was a table. Yeah, everybody thought it was a table, or they had books on it and stuff like that, and just kind of dressed the whole thing up and started doing a lot of work there and that kind of stuff. Even with the space, it was going for $300 a month. And somebody told me that, and I said, nope, not for me, it's not. And they go, you can't change things like that. I said, really? Watch what I do. And
okay.
I went up to this lady, I called her, and I said, because I got the phone number finally, I got the phone number for the guy, and I said, I called her up and said, this is what I want to do. I didn't ask. I said, this is what I like to do. I want to turn this into a shop. I want to do a little thing, and I want to pay $150 a month. And kind of give her little details about certain things. And so go, you know, basically talk to your husband, see what he thinks, and get back with me. That's all he said. And she calls back, and she said, we're going to mail the keys to you so you can take a look at it and that kind of stuff. But my husband agrees with everything you say. So just send us the money. And he said, the only thing he asked for extra was a $50 deposit. And I'm thinking, I just saved $150. A $50 deposit, yeah, no big deal, right? So I gave him the $50 deposit. Yeah, I gave him all the stuff. And the next thing you know, I was working. And I had my own shop, no partners, no nothing, doing a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
It all worked out, all fell into place. And I think the one thing you saw about, too, I had the landlord come up to my door, and she was like, you have to rent today? I'm like, is that today? So I didn't freak out. I was freaking out inside. I looked right in the face, and I said, okay, why don't you do me a favor? I said, come back. Later today, because you're in town for the weekend, because I think she lives in Texas. And then she goes, okay. I'll come back at the end of the day, but I want my rent money. I said, I guarantee you, you will have your rent money. I will have your rent money for you. And I did. When she came back, I said, here's your $150. And she goes, really? Yes.
Now, is that where you're at now, or is that somewhere else?
Yeah, it's in the same area, Manitou Springs.
So that's the name of the city you're at now?
Yep, actually where I'm at right now, between Old Colorado City and Manitou Springs. But I go to Manitou Springs quite a bit. And actually I have a person that we've been talking about looking at office space. Well, actually we're looking for, we're just looking for spaces to start a metaphysical shop. He's got a vision of what he wants to do. I've checked out a couple of places. I actually went to look at some places there I think would really work out really well. Because it gives potential of actually having spaces.
Give me a short version, metaphysical. I've been looking up different words and different things. What is metaphysical?
What's that?
What is metaphysical?
Oh, it's like those metaphysical shops you find all the time with the candles, and they have everything you can think of from spells and stuff like that. They have...
Okay.
I just want to
make sure...
Yeah, my friend. But I want to recreate what my friend had up here. There was a friend of mine I had up here named Ruth, and she had a big old metaphysical shop. She had a little section where you could sit and read the books. She had a nice library of all the books you could buy. She had shell stuff. She had these one thing. They're like little air fresheners. They're like little candles for money, love, certain things like that. And you could burn those things. They smell really good, especially the one for money. It didn't smell like money at all. Actually, smelled pretty good. And she had candles. She had, they call them couple candles, where it's actually like a candle shaped like a couple that you can burn for to attract relationships and stuff like that. So she had variations of everything. She had copper wind chimes with stones and crystals and stuff. And she had every freaking thing. She had, I think she had every deck of tarot cards out there in the section. And just had all this stuff. And I was like, and plus she had a phone service in her shop that people could call and talk to her on the phone, or they could call and make an appointment. I think on her phone service, she made about $400 every day. And then she did readings in the shop.
Okay.
So it was one of those things. There was a place, well, it's still here, but some of the things we've been hearing about, first of all, competition and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, competition, it's not even a spiritual word. And to hear it in a metaphysical shop, I went down there to put my cards in here. And she said, no, you can't do that because it would give competitions for the other psychics. So I'm sitting there going, okay, I can't believe I just heard that word, competition. There is no such thing. And they got some great products and great services and great stuff like that. But when you start alienating psychics, they're the one people that will buy a lot of those products. I knew when I used to go to my friend's store all the time, on average, I was spending about $2,000 a month at her shop. On books and stuff. So it was like, it's a great
feeling. Well, your shop is going to be unique and, set apart, and people are just going to flock to your store. They're going to leave the other store and flock to your store. Do you have a name for it yet?
Well, I was thinking about Out of the Blue Psychic Visions.
Okay.
You don't like that?
No. I mean, I was letting it resonate. I mean, you've had that thought for a while, and I just got it thrown at me for a second.
It's one of those things that things are like in progress,
Right. So you expect to have that open by when, you think?
Because I think it's one of those things where people need, it's supposed to be a spiritual community, but if you're in a situation of doing certain things that basically making people alienating, or alienating them from each other, then you're not really focused on the community because you're actually alienating people from each other. So it kind of kills the whole unity thing. So it was like one of those things of bringing back that unity, but also being in a situation not telling people you can't come here because you're a psychic. It's the ideal saying, come here. It's all work together, that kind of stuff, and realize that everybody gets exactly what they want. If you're focusing on manifesting 20 clients a day, those are your 20 clients. You're not stealing them from anybody.
Right.
They're just coming to you because that's how the universe works. Like attracts like.
Right.
So to hear
it's like Mary Kay Beauty Consultants. I mean, we have so many here in Jacksonville, but, we have a million people here, so, hey.
Jacksonville's a big, big city.
Yeah.
I used to live there, and it was just like, just driving from one side of town to the next is a day's journey.
And don't let it be 5 o'clock traffic.
Heck yeah. It was down on, what was it? I was down on Phillips Highway, and I'm like, this freaking Florida is flat. I sit here and watch
right.
I saw the traffic light, and it changed colors 4 times before I got to the damn thing. I was in
right.
this, and then there was one that I was trying to get my alternator, and I said, well, it's during the day, so as long as you keep your car going, it'll keep the engine cool. But as soon as
right.
I stop, it's going to heat up, so I thought, I got plenty of time, this cool Florida, usually got this good breezes coming through. I never, so I was, and then you finally make it to the light, and then I don't know how they actually work their lights, but the light will sit there. There's no freaking traffic. And you sit there for 20 minutes going, okay, when's this circle going to turn green? And then we got that whole thing done and everything else. But, yeah, you know, people don't realize, when I remember when I lived in Jacksonville back in around 1993, where they had the sniper on 295 and
they
throw bricks off the freaking bridges and stuff like that. I'm sitting there going, it wasn't just the idea of getting from one end of town to the other. Then we had to deal with some dudes shooting people. And then somebody, I don't know if it was the same guy or not, but those two instances were actually happening at the same time. Bricks were being pushed off of bridges and people shooting. And then people taking advantage of that. Those two incidents I saw were a guy was trying to commit suicide and he messed up and crashed into a bridge. And then when the cops showed up, he didn't tell me he tried to kill himself. He said the sniper shot at him and he ran off the road. I was like, oh, this thing is taking on all kinds of dimensions. And then there was some guy coming home from a party, and somebody smashed the back of the window of the van out. And so what he did was, when he came home, he told his father that the sniper had shot the window out. And people go, how'd you know that they didn't? Well, a half hour later, these people are being arrested for obstruction of justice because of the thing going on. I was like, I said, another one bites the dust. And they were like, I said, we got a sniper, we got a brick thrower, and then we got people who are actually using that to keep themselves from getting in trouble anyway. But it was funny. But, you know, it was one of those things that passed. And
I can't wait for you to come back. I told you, I don't know what you call them, bridges and stuff. I mean, just unbelievable. I mean, they all round and stuff. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, that one on what was it? There was that one bridge that I used to hate if you didn't make it down by a certain time, which just because it was a drawbridge. It went straight up.
Possibly the Main Street Bridge, or if you're talking about the beach, the McCormick Bridge. But
that was the one, McCormick Bridge. It wasn't the one downtown. That's the one that goes straight up.
That is no longer a drawbridge, I mean, they built the bridge high enough to where you don't have to lift it up for the boats anymore.
That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, they've done some amazing things, And that bridge was, one thing they should have done 30 years ago. I don't know what was up with that.
Except for
somebody was getting paid money to stand there and lift the bridge up and don't let it get stuck.
Politics.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get a kick out of, you would sit there on the Main Street Bridge when it got the blue one, it goes straight up. You'd have people. There was one guy who was in a sports car, and when the bridge goes up, the hooks are supposed to come up over it to keep you from running off the bridge. Well, this guy comes in and down there one morning, and the claws didn't come out. The bridge went up, but the claws didn't come up, so there he just kept on driving, because that's flat. When you come down through there, you can't tell it unless you actually look up and see that the bridge is going up. I figured it went dip off the freaking, off that freaking into the river, and those rivers. Once you hit those freaking rivers, that's pretty much, that's a done deal, too. They didn't find him. They found his car, but they never found him. So we all know what happened. It was feeding time. Seriously, you know as well as I do, right? If you go under those bridges, what's the thing you see when you go under some of those bridges? If the walking past you got going, there's these black crabs everywhere.
Oh my!
When I was younger, we went under that bridge. We were down by the beach, and we were fishing. And this my cousin said, let's go under the bridge. So me and my brothers, and we went under the bridge. And you can see, you can see the smile on the guy's face. Some of those up, but I didn't catch it the first, right? Next thing I know, there's these black things coming out everywhere. Oh, you're like 13 years old, and it's time to go. It was funny. Because I guess, and he looked at me, and I see, he goes, basically all the bridges are like that with the crabs and stuff. I was like, well, that's something though. I'm not going in there no more.
Mm-hmm.
That was a day too when you got the crap going on, because I guess it was low tide.
Right.
So it was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But, Jacksonville, one thing is Jacksonville was the very first place I ever saw a place where you could actually donate blood, plasma. This was like back in 93. You could actually get $30. And I just started.
they got a hot place down on Mayport Road. I haven't been. I don't like that kind of stuff. I got to be, whew. But everybody comes from cross town, you know, to go to this place because they pay more money. I mean, it's like a big, big business.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, they used to have a thing there where you had to have a driver's, your driver's license had to have where you lived at. You had to live in the, you had to live in the, where your, where the plasma place is at. You had to live there, and your license had to say that. But they started realizing how much business they were losing, so they started saying, if you got some mail that says you live here, you're good to go.
Mm-hmm.
But we
yeah,
had a thing down
here. Big business now.
Yeah, we had one here. Well, we still have, I guess there's a couple here in Colorado Springs, too. And I was telling a friend of mine, I said, you don't think you can change things? I was going to the plasma center, and I said, you know something? It should be like $30. It should be at least $10 more than it is now. So all of a sudden, I came back next week to donate plasma, and it would it had gone from 20, what was it? It had gone from 20 to 30. And then I said, okay, that's cool. And then, you know, it was one of those things you could actually donate twice a week. And they, I said, wow, that's kind of funny. It changed, you know, focus. And I said, well, they need to change it one more time. So they changed it. Now they tried to, you know, then they changed it. And that's what I was looking at. It was just the idea how they changed it. So what they would do is that if you come two times during the week, the first time would be 20, and then the next time would be 30. Because it used to be 15 and 20. So they changed that. And I was still focusing on them changing it for more. And then what they came up with was if you come and you go 2 days, you get the 20 and the 30. But if you come back the next week and do it again, it's consecutive, they will give you 20 and 40. And I was like, I don't care how the format goes. You know, it's the ideal. That it was, I think it was more or less was showing people when you focus, things will change. But I would tend to be too picky on how it happens, where it's like, no. I said, well, did you actually put in your affirmation? It should be all done now? Or did you just say they should increase it and then increase the next week? Those are the things you're supposed to be looking at. The ideal, it did happen. We had that one thing I talked about on the show where Washington, D.C. has the highest death rate, a murder rate in the country.
Really?
That was like the average between 450 murders a year.
Jeez.
400. So what they did was they wanted to show that what positive thinking can do by focusing on the worst city to change the murder rate where it would drop. And they focused on it all year. Did some things to focus on it. And that year, for the very first time ever, the murder rate in Washington, D.C. dropped.
Jeez.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's the idea of looking at your life and going, okay, where do you think you're talking the negative? And just find it and change it. You don't have to sit there and monitor every freaking thought. If you did that, you'd go nuts. Because, yeah, so I sit there and, it's like trying to get people to sit there and go, okay, I want you to focus on a situation and try to find the solution. And then another one arises. Try to find the solution. Don't dwell on what's going on, but try to find a solution. What you're going to find out later on is when something happens, by taking the efforts to do that, you catch yourself automatically trying to go find a solution.
Right.
Ooh. So it's just like, you know, it's like telling people just take one challenging thought and just say, okay, what would you like to do in this situation as you think is a solution, and then follow it. I always tell people too, the phrase second guessing yourself means you're not listening to the first thing that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
So try. So instead of getting mad at yourself or second guessing yourself, realizing that the definition of what you're doing is to focus on the first thing that comes through. So when it does come through, next time just listen. And then follow through with it and see what happens. How are you going to find out? Every time you listen to the first thing that goes through, your life starts getting better again.
Yep.
So,
because if it wasn't for me thinking positive thoughts, I tell you, because if I just thought about, you know, what I see in the natural, doesn't look good at all, but you know, I try to think on the positive thoughts and, you know, still have hope and, you know,
Mm-hmm.
Being grateful for, you know, different things, you know, each day. You know, different little things happen, you know, that are good. You know, from a phone call to somebody bringing me a cabbage or, you know, whatever. You know, light bill paid. You know, I just try to, you know, focus on the positive, because I can't do anything about, you know, the other. Wait for the process. And I feel like, you know, the important thing for me to do is enjoy each day. I mean, I get up early every morning. I'm normally up, I try to be up 5:30 because I'm on a call at 6 o'clock. So I don't like to sound like I just turned over. I like to be up and drinking my coffee, you know, so I don't want to get lackadaisical, you know. But in the last month, if I feel like I need to take a nap about 2:30 or 3, I just go ahead and do it, because I know once I start working, that is not going to happen.
Right.
It will not happen. So, you know, I take, you know, a good 30, 45-minute power nap, and then I'm, you know, continuing on with my day. So what time is your show ending? Because I came in kind of late.
It ended. We're just still in the mode. We can still record after the show's over with. So.
Oh, okay. Well, prayerfully, you know, this time it's on recording, because, you know, I'm going to plan on listening to it tomorrow.
There you go.
So I can write down the affirmations that you've heard, and my meaning of 904 and 857 as well.
Okay.
All right. Well, I enjoyed talking to you, and I'm so glad that you're in Colorado.
That's it.
And I'm going to pull a map up so I can kind of see where you are, because I don't know anything about Colorado except for it's cold.
Well, it hasn't been cold a couple of days here. It's been like in the 80s.
Right.
It's good stuff. I know, I love it.
Great. Okay. Well, you have a good rest of your new day. It's officially Monday.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, it's almost Monday here. Not just what, 2 hours difference.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay, you got me up late on Eastern Standard Time.
There you go.
All right. All right, well, I'll be tuning in again real soon.
Yeah, we're going to be on, when is it? I'm trying to figure it out. If I'm not mistaken, I think we'll be on 24th, Tuesday.
Okay. Well, I got you marked as a favorite, so I'll get my email notification.
Okay, cool. Because I know we're on Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday now. I was doing some daytime stuff, but I wasn't really having the time for myself, so I was like trying to balance it out. We still do the nighttime shows, but the morning shows were. I think it's one of those things we'll try to get. It's one of those things we're still working on. So.
Yes. Okay.
But we're definitely going to be here, no matter how we do it. We're definitely still on Friday, Saturday, Sundays.
Okay.
All righty.
All right. Have a good one.
You have a good one too, and have a great week. Okay.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
You're welcome. Thank you. Let's see. Okay, guys, on that note, I should love how this thing has a tendency to go like that. Well, we're going to say goodnight for the night and say, hey, see y'all later. April, you still there? I'll take that as a kind of.
I'm here now.
Oh, I just wanted to sit here, since we're recording this, I just wanted to make sure I get your information, so. You know, just give them the information, so when they're listening to this thing at the end of because people go back in the archive and listen to these shows all the time. When they get done with the show, the information will be at the end so they can actually call you.
Okay. You can reach me on my website, which is www.aprilangelmedium.yolasite.com. Also, my Skype is ultraviolet0007, or you could look me up on a random